May we have our representative from the host committee for the opening ceremony, please? I think that would be Laura Wells from the host committee. Laura Wells, who was, of course, our gubernatorial candidate in the last election cycle, and paid her dues by being arrested for the privilege.
Indigo is the third eye, which is one of the ways that people basically can see things in a unified way. We know that we're all connected. We know that the Green Party's key values, the reason that we have the four pillars of nonviolence and grassroots democracy, social justice, and the other one that's very important. Did I say nonviolence, grassroots democracy, social justice, and nonviolence? And then there's the violet, so red, orange, yellow, green, and blue, indigo, violet. And the violet is the metaphysical. That says, while life is very important, it actually isn't the only thing. And there are a lot of traditions that can tie into that. And so what I wanted to point out for this opening today is that the green is heart. You know, in that tradition, green means love. We also know that it stands for the green of the ecology. We also know it stands for the green of the economy, the green of the greenback. And so green is a very important color. And I just want to take another 10 seconds to where we can all just, in whatever way we connect with the Spirit, whether it's just the fact that we all breathe in and breathe out and it's the same air that we breathe, or whether there's some more particular kind of spiritual tradition that we gravitate toward and learn from and practice. I just want to take about 10 seconds. Close your eyes if you're comfortable and just see that. Welcome to the Green Party.
Thank you, Laura Wells. And we have some announcements from the host committee.
Thank you. Welcome to Berkeley. And first, this is Maxine Daniel, who coordinated our breakfast. She has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. I wanted just to remind you a few things about our housekeeping. We have some bags and trash cans back there. Some are marked with compost, one's for recycling, and one's for just general waste. And I wish that everybody would help us by pitching in the right thing. This particular cup is compostable, so when you get ready to get rid of that, put it in a compost pile. Thank you very much in advance for helping out. Enjoy the conference.
Okay, a few other quick logistical announcements. Number one, we only have one bathroom, one small bathroom here, so please don't all use it at the same time. You know, take turns and be aware of that. Second, once again, there is no parking in the parking lot. For some reason, any of you have your car in the parking lot, it's going to get towed because the Finns will be arriving en masse very soon, and they're going to want all... Okay, well, anyway, no parking in the parking lot. Okay, and finally, those of you that are staying for dinner, we have these little dinner forms so that you can pre-order your food, and we'll bring it in here for you. So you have until lunchtime, until the end of lunchtime. There's some menus in the back. Pick your selection, add 10% tax, and put exact change with the form into the envelope. Standa Everett has change for you if you need change, and that way we can have dinner brought in. Okay? And any other logistics, you can see me.
And I guess we should introduce facilitators here. This is Matt Leslie from Orange County. And I'm Kendra Gonzalez from Ventura County. And one thing we need to check is to make sure that everybody has their delegate cards, which are these guys here. So whoever does not have a delegate card, can you please raise your hand? You guys are good. All right. So quick announcement. Woohoo! Twinkle that. All 11 regions. That's amazing. Okay. Okay.
Very quickly, our IT group has asked us to announce that the common password for the CA Greens website is changing. There is an announcement explaining that password change. It is on the back delegate registration table. Barry's holding them up right now. So that's changing, just so you know, and that's how you'll find out what it is. As long as we're rolling along here with facilitation duties, we do need to establish a timekeeper and some vibes watchers. Do we have somebody in the room who has a watch? Somebody under the age of 40, because over the age of 40, rather, nobody under the age of 40 carries a watch any longer. Got a watch. Is there somebody who owns a timekeeping device who would like to volunteer to be our timekeeper? You will. And can we get your name, sir? I'm sorry, I don't recall. Randy Hicks, Sacramento, is our timekeeper. Thank you. We need a Vibes Watcher and a Vibes Watcher, preferably a male Vibes Watcher, a female Vibes Watcher, if that's just for gender balance. Do we have somebody who wants to volunteer for that? Yes, we do. Thank you. Gloria Purcell?
Thank you, Gloria. And just something to add to that, especially since we're in one room here and the acoustics in here, even little whisper conversations really carry. So if you have to have a conversation while we're in, you know, going through our processes, take it in the hallway or take it outside. Thank you very much. And we need a male Vibes Watcher. Come on, guys. Oh, here we are. The gentleman in the hat, your name is? Can you spell that? Okay. Thank you very much, volunteers, for vibe watching. And Randy for timekeeping. Thank you. So, our next agenda item is delegate orientation, and we can either do that, or does someone want to volunteer to do delegate orientation? Anyone feel they're really good about describing what that looks like? Okay, Jim, you want to come on up?
How many people are here for the first time, for the first green meeting? Okay. And are any of you delegates at this meeting? Okay. So you're the ones who want to pay the attention the most here. On page 3, it kind of works us through our consensus-seeking process. And the way it works is, well, I won't go through all the steps because some of it just the facilitators do. But basically, our process is that a presenter comes up and presents the proposal, describes what it is. You're expected to have read it already in the agenda packet. The process then goes to ask for clarifying questions. Clarifying questions are asked to ascertain if everybody understands the proposal. It's not debating the merits of the proposal, just do you understand what is being presented? And when the clarifying questions have been answered, then we move to concerns and affirmations. And, you know, concerns are the things that you have concerns about, the things that you disagree with. Affirmations are statement of agreement. And the presenters then attempt to address all of the concerns, which may include, you know, accepting a friendly amendment to change something or simply explaining to the person, you know, in a manner that addresses their concern. And this can go on, as time allows, this can go on for a while. If at the end of the explanations, we again ask if there are any outstanding concerns, if there are still outstanding concerns, then the presenter has a number of options they can do. They can just withdraw the proposal to, you know, take it back to committee and try and work the concerns out more, or they can ask for a voting option. And our voting is by delegates only, and it is number by number. You know, we call and ask each delegate to state their vote, and the thresholds are 80% for a policy decision and 2/3 for a business decision. Okay, and what else do we need to talk about? Concerns. Yeah, all concerns are recorded in the minutes, and Also, let me state how we pass something, because it's not like Robert's Rules of Order. When the facilitators ask if there are any outstanding unresolved concerns, if there are none, that's what passes it. That's consensus, and we have passed the proposal. Let's see. Create an ad hoc committee. No, went over voting. Okay, that's basically the process. Are there any questions on how we handle votes? Everybody clear on this? Yes, Lou?
I have one question, and that is, when the presenter gets up, is it at that point that it's made clear whether or not it's a business decision or a policy decision?
No, that usually just comes up if it goes to a vote. I mean, I suppose you. No, it's not. I mean, I suppose you could ask, but and there can be some ambiguity on that, on whether it's business or policy. Most proposals, it's pretty clear, but there is some ambiguity. And if there is ambiguity and we can't agree on what it is, it automatically goes to the higher percentage. Any other questions?
Thank you, Jim Stauffer. We have a couple of additions to the agenda that were approved last night at the coordinating committee meeting, and we need to add those in and then have the assembly approve the agenda or not. The additions are, basically there are three things that are being added to it. One is an affirmation of the treasurer nomination. One is an affirmation of the liaison to the Secretary of State nomination, and one is an additional proposal in support of closing California's two nuclear power plants. They've been agendized, or they've been scheduled as follows. We're trying to fit the affirmation of the two officers into the previous meeting minutes segment that's supposed to begin at 9:30. So with any luck, since we're actually just about a little early, so let's, if we all stay disciplined, what I'm getting to is we can get to our goals and strategy report back at 9:40. So we're going to add those two things now, if you are in agreement, and then the additional proposal in support of closing the nuclear power plants would happen just before lunch, and we're hoping we can kind of stay ahead of schedule and work that in. So are there any clarifying questions about that? Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry, Bear. We did, I had that included in the treasurer affirmation. There is a small point about adding a person as a signatory to the account for convenience and a backup. So were there any clarifying questions about the agenda additions? Any concerns about the agenda additions? We have a hand in the back. Yes. Yes, I'm told that they will be projected on the screen to my left. We will have that. Yeah, we're a little behind on this, but we'll try to be the proposal later on. Yes, I'm confident Mr. Feinstein will have that up. And the other two are things that are relatively simple in that sense. Although I personally like to work with printed material, these are pretty quick. Okay, so there are two. Party officers in the Green Party of California. One is the treasurer, and one is a liaison to the Secretary of State. And the process, I'm sorry, we have a point of process?
Yeah. I have some clarifying questions and possible concerns about another item on the agenda. So I can't tell from what you've just done if you're proceeding to these special items only, or if you're proceeding as if the whole agenda had approved when that process had not happened yet.
I'm sorry, I had just attempted to conduct that process. If I'm in error, then it was my understanding from what I just did that the Assembly had just approved the agenda, but am I in error?
All I heard you do is announce that there were a couple items being added to amend the agenda proposal.
And then I asked for clarifying questions about that, but I can do that again if you'd like, or in a better way. I see. Okay, I see. In adding those, what I did was I apparently asked if there were any concerns about the additions of those items, but I did not make it clear that I was asking whether or not we were, in fact, approving the entire agenda. Thank you, Warner. So with those additions, then, I will proceed, with your permission, to the proposal, as it were, to approve the entire agenda for the weekend as printed in your packet with the additions that I stated earlier. And I'm going to ask, I guess, for a clarifying question, so Warner. If I may, are you asking whether it's a discussion or a decision item?
That's one of my questions, yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask the coordinators of the coordinating committee, the co-coordinators, to address this, since I am on the coordinating committee, but I'm going to try to not mix the two things of facilitation and my own personal experience on that. So I'm going to appeal to Barry Hermanson, co-coordinator of the coordinating committee, to answer Warner's questions.
Since there were so many of our groups that wanted to have Green 2012 on the agenda, we were hearing from several. We just decided that put it out there. The coordinating committee will actually just sponsor this. The main proponent of this proposal is Marnie, and she will be making a presentation about the plan this afternoon. It was listed as a proposal. It certainly, Marnie would love to have it be a proposal. I don't see, personally, as this is an issue that I think we're going to try to be taking all or nothing in terms of a proposal. I have no doubt that there will be some significant modifications to this plan, but in my mind, part of what's so exciting about today is we have an opportunity to move forward as a party, and we can choose how we're going to do that. And there's an idea that's on the table, a rather extensive one, in the form of Green 2012. It's not the end-all to be-all. We need to do something, because if we don't, our party is gradually going down. And so that's in the spirit, I think, that this thing has been brought forward. It is not in traditional proposal format, no. But I'm looking to what are we going to do in the short term to try to build this party. This plan has some aspects to it that could carry us longer term. We don't have to buy into that today. So I'd love everybody, as you approach it, this discussion this afternoon, as we're talking about the Green 2012 plan, hear more about it, and I'm understanding there's a number of people here who did not print out the agenda packet. I'm sorry, we didn't print out stacks of these things. If folks who did bring along a copy can raise their hands, perhaps we can have people sitting next to each other and sharing these documents as we move along. It'll make it. So anyone who did not bring a copy along, please try to move yourself so we can share these documents. Did that answer your question, Warner?
You did not answer the question whether the or by vote in the coordinating committee?
This document, the entire agenda, actually, was sent to the coordinating committee and asked for approval. A previous version had been sent, and we got no response back. And a couple of people saying, yeah, that's fine. I don't think anybody on our coordinating committee actually objected to this. You know, we had to sponsor it somewhere. The campaigns and candidates working group is where this initially came through. So. So, at any rate.
You're still not answering my question.
Well, it's for want of a better play. I mean, we could change this and say that CCWG is sponsoring it. I don't care.
No, you can't. CCWG has its own internal process, and it would have to use that process
okay.
Before this meeting to be a sponsor of this kind of a document, and it didn't do that.
All right. I guess that begs the question, are you saying that... if we did not follow exact protocol in getting this on the agenda, that it shouldn't even be discussed? Is that what you're saying?
I think a good way of dealing with the issue would be to make it a discussion agenda item, not a decision agenda item, just to answer your question directly.
All right.
Okay, and I have to ask, looking at the agenda, it's difficult for me to tell whether or not this is, in fact, a discussion or a decision item in the agenda. And, I mean, can we have that clarified, at least?
The proponent would like it to be a proposal.
Okay, so it looks as though we had a number of hands up. Are these clarifying questions or concerns? May I ask? If you have a clarifying question, please raise your hand. If you have a concern, please raise your hand. Okay, so we'll do a little process here. Okay, we have an offer to answer that question. Is this mic working right here? Can you?
Would you mind kind of going
two things. First, unlike every other agenda that I've ever seen for any other state meeting that I recognize your haircut, the coordinating committee normally gets the entire agenda weeks in advance and votes on it and often holds a meeting and votes on it. This time, because everything was later than it's ever been for anything we've ever done, Barry posted something on the CC list at the last second that included the CC sponsoring this and said, it's really late, we got to get something out, does anybody have an outstanding concern about anything? So it went out. So if we want to go on process, the entire agenda wasn't approved by the coordinating committee. It wasn't submitted properly. It wasn't done how our entire rules are supposed to be. Nobody voted. We didn't hold a meeting. We didn't discuss it. It just was thrown online in 24 hours and said it's going out because everything is late. That's number one. Number two, in terms of Green 2012, in the end, what it's going to come down to is what we spend budget money on. And although Marty is going to present a broad vision, in the end, what we end up voting on is whether some of the things that are in that plan are going to be part of the budget or not. So when we get into the budget discussion, effectively, rather than voting it up or down on an entire Green 2012, we're going to be looking at a budget, and there are going to be things that we want to do or don't want to do. And in that discussion, we're going to work it through. So in effect, it's partly a discussion because Marty's going to throw some ideas out for discussion, and then the decisions that we make are going to be the budget that we pass and what priorities we end up choosing in that vote. And who knows what grab bag mix that's going to be.
All right, thank you, Mike. May we have it looks like we have some clarifying questions. Do we want to form a stack up here with those, if we could please, and use the mic, just because it's hard to hear everybody sometimes. Yes, at this time, just clarifying questions, and then we'll move to concerns and affirmation.
Okay, well, clarifying question. I guess, Mike, clarifying question then. If Green 2012 is primarily a bunch of budget items that are going to be considered during the budget section, why are we devoting 2 hours to the discussion of Green 2012 just to then go into another, after following that, another two-hour session on the budget where we're going to discuss Green 2012 items again? I mean, if they're so integrated, I think 4 hours combined seems a bit long, and I'm not sure we need then a two-hour section of time dedicated specifically to Green 2012.
And I'm sorry, please state your name and county for the note taker, please.
Sorry, I'm getting senile. Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County.
I'm Shane Q. He, Los Angeles County. I got two concerns. One is that it would be better essentially to label the 2012 as a presentation or discussion to allow flexibility. And the second thing is with the new items, I think that if we're running behind, which is very likely, if we get into this budget thing, then we should essentially ask the General Assembly whether or not it's appropriate for the new item to be inserted. So that means the nuclear resolution should be subject to time constraints, and how much time is expected to be spent on it, because it's not clear.
Thank you. Thank you to our timekeeper. We have reached time on this item, and we're going to have to ask the Assembly if we'd like to buy a couple of minutes someplace. I'm going to make a suggestion that we buy 5 minutes from the next item and begin that at 9:45, if that's agreeable. So we'll just change that to 9:45 from 9:40. And go ahead.
Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. And you'll have to forgive my having almost no voice. I have no concern about this being on the agenda, because it needs to be robustly discussed. But the coordinating committee, nor did any other committee, submit this as a proposal. It was submitted to GROW in a different format, much more exacting, and a good document. And
I'm sorry to interrupt. We have a point of process going on.
My clarifying question is, why is this coming through as a proposal when no committee adopted it as such? Point of information is GROW did adopt the discussion on this as a discussion item because it transfers through different the different group tasks, and so it needed to be discussed in front of the whole General Assembly. But I don't see where. I'd like to find out where it was authorized as a proposal.
Thank you. We ended up melding our questions and clarifying questions and concerns. Can we address one quickly, if I may, the presenter for the anti-nuclear proposal, if you would just tell us how much time you think that is going to require on the agenda. So we're talking about, you know, we might be able to do this 10 to 15 minutes. Less than 15 minutes. Okay, to answer the question about that.
Yeah, I mean, you just said you could just combine clarifying questions, but I have an application.
That's okay. Yeah, if there's, go ahead.
Okay.
Your name, please.
Assigned to Everett, San Mateo County. So the first thing I want to say is I'm a Capricorn. I'm really big on following rules. But at the same time, and we have some incredibly well-written rules in our party and procedures, but sometimes as we're trying to do new things, what we have been doing, you know, like we're going down in party strength just when we should be going up. So this was an unusual proposal. It couldn't be sponsored by CCWG, but it's only part of it that had to do with CCWG, and part of it had to do with budget, and part of it had to do with other committees. So instead, the writer of the proposal went to many counties and asked whether do you support this being on the agenda, and then there was no way. We don't have a procedure to do that. We only do it through committees, but it didn't fit in anything. So this is something that's new, and it doesn't quite fit our procedures, but I think it's a value, and you know, like it may be the assembly needs to vote on whether, because it's a group thing, but.
Okay, we have, we're going to close the stack after Kendra here is going to put herself on the stack, and then we're going to close the stack.
Yeah.
Mike Feinstein, and introduced myself before. To follow up on Sandra's point, what our bylaws say is that proposals which don't fit into the regular boxes, and there is a specific clause that says, those are ones when it's not clear where else the proposal goes, the coordinating committee is the group that goes ahead and sponsors it. Now, in the end, you know, the coordinating committee had a snooze you lose. It was on the agenda, on the draft for a few weeks. It was on the final one. It said 24 hours, hey, it's going forward or not. Is that a good way to do business as a party? No, but that's how the entire agenda got to you. So in effect, following what we did, the coordinating committee, by snoozing, sponsored a thing. Our rules say that the coordinating committee is supposed to do that, and I would say that since eight counties said we would like to see this on the agenda in some form to discuss, the coordinating committee got it on there. And in the end, no, you're not going to vote up or down on it. You're going to end up hearing that and deciding whether any of that stuff belongs in the budget.
We have a point of process.
Okay, Kendra Gonzalez, Ventura County. So facilitator hat is off, and regular green hat is on. It's my understanding, having followed this, that we're all okay that this is not a proposal to pass Green 2012 here today. There's no way. There's a lot of information. It's simply an introduction for discussion. And I think it's important to look at this plan with all the budget allocations in its entirety to let it percolate a bit and bring some of these ideas to review, to consider, not decide on, to consider during our budget process after the proposal. So I say let's just talk about it. It's not the end-all, do-all, decision-making thing today. And I just wanted to clarify that. So I'd like to see it on the agenda, and especially because we didn't follow process for the whole thing anyway, as has been pointed out repeatedly. And if anyone wants to, sir, I see your hand up. Come on up to the stack. Do you have a clarifying question? Oh, we did close the stack. But you know what? Can we open it for one person? No, okay. Sorry.
All right. So it sounds as though we have some concerns about it. Am I correct in saying at this point that all concerns about the agenda are about the Green 2012 proposal being on the agenda, and whether let me try it that way. So there was some concern over whether or not it was a discussion or a decision item. Can I ask if there are any concerns about it simply appearing at all? Seeing none, then can I ask if there are any concerns about it being a decision item on the agenda? Okay, we have several concerns. I think I'm correct in saying that those have all been stated. They have not been stated. Okay, we're a little out of process. That, I mean, there's no, if you have a concern about it, has your concern been stated by somebody else? Okay, no, they have not. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to step a little out of process, if that's okay, and ask those who have not stated their concern to please do so quickly at the microphone, just very quickly. Yeah, the microphone over here.
Michael Borstein, El Dorado County. My concern is that what GROW consents to look at as a discussion item was a completely different document than we're seeing in the packet. That would be my concern. My friendly amendment to all this would be to make it a discussion item and get on with the plenary.
Okay, we have a friendly amendment to turn it into a discussion item.
Paul Seeger, Contra Costa. Yeah, I agree with that. I just want to make it known that the feedback that was received from the counties regarding this item was misrepresented by, I don't remember who came up and said it, but Contra Costa Green Party sent in an official statement from our party saying that, yes, we would like it to be on there, but as a discussion item. And so whoever was up here said that they wanted it on as the proposed, the way that it is now. And I'm just saying that we did not. So there might be other concerns as well.
Thank you.
Caroline Yacoub, Santa Clara County. My question is, if we discuss Green 2012 and it's just a discussion item, how can parts of it be part of the budget? I don't get that.
Okay, and one more, and we're closing the stack. After you, sir.
Lou Tremaine, Marin County. There's really only one main decision point in Green 2012 that isn't a budget item. And, I mean, essentially, most of it is, do we want to fund some of these ideas? And that is an appropriate conversation for the budget. But the one decision point that's critical that I think it, that needs to be decided by this group is whether or not we're actually going to do a statewide voter registration drive. And that is a policy decision that needs to be made by the group. So I think it there are some decisions to be made in the proposal, and I think that it needs to be that way on the agenda.
Okay, the stack is closed. We have some disagreement over whether or not this is supposed to be, or should be rather, a decision or discussion item. We've had a friendly amendment proposed that it become a discussion item only. I will ask, I guess, for those who held concerns, are any of you willing to stand aside? If you're not willing to stand aside, please raise your hand. Okay, we have some, we have several people who are have outstanding concerns. And we have 1 minute left on this item, and I'm afraid we're going to have to buy some more time. Point of process? Are there any concerns? We're going to test for consensus as it, for Green 2012 appearing on the agenda as a discussion item only. Are there any concerns? Okay, I'm seeing two hands, and are either of you willing to stand aside? Well, I guess if you're not willing to stand aside on that concern, please raise your hand. Yes, of course. If concerns for those willing to stand aside will always be recorded in the minutes.
So my concern is simply the one thing I thought we might vote on is committing to the voter registration drive that Lou was talking about. But I will stand aside. I thought that might come out of Green 2012. I'll stand aside on that. But
okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Now, if I'm understanding you correctly, then all those with concerns about it being a discussion item only have are going to stand aside on that?
No, I'm not standing aside.
You're not standing aside. Okay, you have an outstanding concern.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, if you're standing aside, the mic is available to you. If not, then we understand it to be a concern, and then yeah, we'll have to buy a little more time on the item here.
If we don't have it as a decision-making item, folks, we can't decide as a group to have a statewide voter registration drive, and I know many of us came to make a decision in the General Assembly to have a statewide voter registration drive, and that's a key decision.
All right, we're going to need we're going to try about 5 minutes to buy some time here. Can I ask a question about the goals and strategies report backs from local and regional meetings? Are there people here who are going to participate in that item? Can I see a show of hands for anybody doing that? Okay, it's not going to take a half hour. Then I'm going to suggest that we start that item instead at 9:55. Do we think that might be enough time? 9 or 10 o'clock? Okay, so let's take this item until 10 o'clock if we need it. So that'll take us up until then. We will begin goals and strategies at 10 o'clock.
15
yes, 15 minutes, just about 15 minutes if we're good about this. All right, so we have an outstanding concern on the agenda, and then we need to decide how we're going to handle that. So. No, I don't think so. No, it's not there. Suggestions, sir?
About this for many months now, so
Well, I think as far as process goes, we've reached the point where we have an outstanding concern, and yeah, and we can either pull the item or we can go for a vote on it.
I would like to address the concern.
Please be brief.
Okay. Well, we don't need a plenary decision to do a statewide voter drive. We've been doing voter registration drives all of our life. All we need is someone, a group at the state level, such as GROW or someone, to say, we're going to do a statewide voter drive. What you need is buy-in from the counties. That's the critical thing. We don't need a decision. We just need GROW or some other appropriate group to say, we're going to start this damn voter drive, da-da-da-da-da, and send it out to the counties and talk about it and get everybody going. It really doesn't need a formal decision. It can be, it's a popular item. It just needs a committee to sponsor it and to act as the overseer of it.
A point of process. Yeah, I was considering that. We are essentially considering the coordinating committee to be the presenting body. So if that seems like the most logical way to handle that. So Barry, we do need to know whether or not we want to pull the item or go for a vote.
Absolutely not pull that. We're not pulling. I'm here today largely because of that. Well, obviously I need to be here anyway. But it sounds like we do have a fair number of people would like this just to be considered as a discussion item. I don't think that precludes us from, in our conversations on the budget, to actually be taking money and saying we would like to focus it in the short term on this type of project or this particular activity, whether it's voter registration or whatever else. And so it does not, even if this becomes a discussion item, it does not preclude us during our discussion on the budget from actually making a decision to move dollars. Okay? So with that said, would you step aside on your concern, or do we need to go to a vote?
Can I respond to the mic?
Absolutely. Yes.
When the people in this room who've gathered from all of the regions of California decide formally, yes, we want to have a statewide voter registration drive, it has more power, it has more influence, and generates more unity. And I believe that we could come to consensus on launching a statewide voter registration drive, and we'll have more authority if we can do that. Thanks.
All right. So I was saying, I probably shouldn't jump in. I was saying that, you know, basically we have close to consensus, but not consensus. Well, I guess I'd rather than go through a roll call vote and to, you know, to say, we got 47 or 48 to 1 or 2. Is there a simpler way we can do that? Yeah, go ahead.
I think the rules say that whoever the presenter is, the choice is whether to withdraw. You said you don't want to withdraw, so therefore it must go to a vote, correct?
Right. The question was is to take this as a discussion item instead of...
So let's clarify the proposal... which is whether this is to be a discussion item only. The Green 2012 is a discussion item only on the agenda and to vote the agenda in for the day.
That's right. Okay. Do we need to do a roll call on this? Let's just do this. We're going to have a budget discussion anyway.
Okay, there's a clarifying question, Michael?
Yep.
Point of process, sorry. Point of process. That's not a point of process. Okay, so we, at this point, need to go to a vote.
Let's
the stack is closed.
Let's go to a vote and move on with this.
If you're disagreeing, then we go to a vote. That's what the point of process. Right? Come up to the mic. Can you come up to the mic?
Gloria Purcell, San Mateo County. We have on the floor a friendly amendment to the proposal. that the presenter should address before you go to a vote as to whether he accepts the friendly amendment so that we know whether we're voting on discussion or proposal as far as the wording goes.
Can you restate that friendly amendment?
Oh, just that it be changed, the wording of the heading from proposal to discussion. You didn't address that yet. Everybody else has been talking about it.
I accept that.
Now we go on the agenda.
Yeah, so we're voting on the agenda with Green 2012 amended as a discussion item only. And the additions of dealing with Treasurer and Secretary of State positions. So we're going to just start calling, get your delegate cards ready. We're going to start calling these out. Okay, let me have that one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we have a scribe. Me.
Can we just do...
Yeah, we're just going to do...
No, not one by one. I'm just saying, and see if there's only one or two people that put their cards up.
That's going to...
I'm gonna ask a clarifying, ask for clarification from bylaws. Do we need to do this as a roll call vote, or can we do it by a show of delegate cards? Okay. We need to, yeah. Can we do this by a show of delegate cards and count them, or do we need to do a roll call vote? That's a clarifying, this is a clarification question from the facilitators.
It requires a roll call.
It does require, okay, then we'll begin. Delegate number one. Who has delegate number one? Delegate number one, we're going to come back to you. We have you who's not present right now. Delegate number two.
No.
Who? Delegate number two, no. Delegate number three.
Abstain.
Delegate number three, abstain. Delegate number four.
Yes.
Delegate number four, yes. Delegate number five.
Yes.
Delegate number five, yes. Delegate number six.
Yes.
Number six, yes. Delegate number seven. Delegate number seven.
Yes, I'm here. I need to explain. We're voting yes to change it to a discussion.
That is the proposal. And to accept the entire agenda
yes.
As it's part of, yes. Then I'm hearing yes, delegate number seven, yes. Number eight?
Yes.
Number eight, yes. Number nine?
Yes.
Number nine, yes. Number 10?
Yes.
Number 10, yes. Number 11?
Yes.
Number 11, yes. Number 12?
Yes.
Number 12, yes. Number 13?
Yes.
Delegate number 13, yes. Delegate number 14?
Yes.
14, yes. Number 15?
Abstain.
15, abstain. 16?
Yes.
16, yes. 17? 17, no. 18.
Yes.
Delegate 18, yes. 19.
Yes.
19, yes. 20.
Yes.
20, yes. 21. 21, that is me. 21 is yes. 22.
Yes.
22 is yes. 23.
Yes.
23 is yes. 24.
Yes.
24 is yes. 25.
Yes.
25 is yes. 26.
Yes.
I heard... Okay. Okay, that's us Greens. Instead of voting twice, we vote together once. So that's number one is yes. Okay, that was number 26 was yes? 26 is yes. In the meantime, I've been told that delegate number one, is that you, Barry? Is voting yes. Delegate number one is yes. 27?
Yes.
27 is yes. 28?
Yes.
28 is yes. 29?
Yes.
29 is yes. 30?
No.
30 is no. 31? 31 is no. 32?
Yes.
32 is yes. 33?
Abstain.
Abstain. 33 is abstain. 34?
Yes.
34 is yes. 35?
No.
35 is no. 36?
Yes.
36 is yes. 37? Delegate number 37 is yes. Thank you. 38?
Yes.
38 is yes. 39?
Aye.
Aye. 39 is yes. 40?
Yes.
40 is yes. 41? 41 is yes, and I'm sorry, I'm looking to see how many delegates we have right now. 42.
No.
42 is no. 43.
No.
43 is no. 44.
Yes.
44 is yes. 45.
Abstain.
45 is abstain. 46.
Yes.
46 is yes. 47.
Yes.
47 is yes. 48. 48 is yes. Now, my notes say that there are 48 delegates. Is there a number 49 card out there or anything above that? Okay, so we have reached our delegate count. All delegates have voted yes, no, or abstain. And we're adding things up right now. There's been a request to make a quick announcement about platform where we're tallying the votes. This should just take a moment. Please go ahead.
Shane Cuhee, L.A. County, the platform COCO. Could those groups who have preliminary tests of consensus form, please hand them in to me so I know what kind of alterations you'd like in the platforms.
Hey, while everybody's gathered, if I can break in with an announcement, please, about Clearinghouse. If over the weekend you desire any tote bags, buttons, bumper stickers, or have a desire for us to order more stuff, or need to purchase our newest addition, which are these pennants for tabling, just see me and we'll keep you supplied. We have most of that stuff right here for sale at the plenary. And platform summaries. We have oodles of them at a 50% discount. Just see me so we don't have to take up floor time.
Okay, thank you for the announcement. My mind went blank. This is a business item, and so the decision threshold is 2/3. We had 37 yes votes, 7 no votes, and 4 abstentions, so the proposal passes. Okay. Yes, repeating for the note taker, that was 37 votes yes, 7 votes no, and 4 abstentions. No absence, all votes, all delegates accounted for in voting.
Just a little quip, oh my goddess, we have an agenda.
Okay, everybody, if we could take your seats, we can. This side of the agenda team table will fall on his sword in admitting that I skipped an agenda item at 9:30. So we're actually half hour behind. Okay, so we're going to have to do. I apologize for that. We'll have to do a little bit of time shaving here because we have some things to add into the agenda. So yeah, that's supposed to be at 9:30. Can we have permission from the assembly just to approve the previous meeting minutes quickly? We can get that one out of the way and then deal with the time question. Okay, thank you. Seeing no concerns. Okay, are the previous meeting minutes available?
Yeah,
they're online. Okay. And were there any concerns about the meeting minutes as posted online? No, the last plenary meeting. Yes. Seeing none, I feel like I'm being a little perfunctory here, but I think seeing none, that do we have consensus to approve the meeting's minutes from the last plenary, the Fullerton plenary? Seeing a shower of twinkles. Thank you very much. We're past that, pardon the imagery. And we're still we're running a little behind there, so if we can perhaps take Sorry, yeah, we apologize. We're trying to find a way to shave some time because we're running about 25 minutes behind and we have some additions.
Just
So we can either just charge forward. Okay. All right. Okay, so if with your permission, then we'll go ahead with the items that were added to the agenda, the affirmations of the two officers of the party.
Okay, so the coordinating committee last evening put forward two names for party officers, one being to Jean Rosenmeier to continue on in her role as our state party treasurer, with the caveat of adding Barry Hermanson on as a second backup signatory to the account, just as a good measure. And we also put forward separate items. Okay, so we want to affirm Jean Rosenmeier continue in her role as our state treasurer. And it looks like we have consensus in the room. Nice. Okay. And
one brief announcement related to that. If anyone in this room, or if you know anybody who would have skills to step forward serve as a treasurer, we really would enjoy that. Jean has served now for, 4 years, whatever. And I know that she would enjoy being able to step back from that. She's done a good job. But we do need to try to transition to someone else. Just keep it in mind, please.
And
I can't. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we're just adjusting. Okay. So we want to thank someone here who's been acting as liaison to Secretary of State. I was going to say Secretary of State. Yeah, coming up. Maybe next cycle. And Jane, I'd like you to just stand momentarily and take a little bow for all of your work over, one or two terms? Thank you. So, and so we have Bill Myers from Mendocino County who has offered to come forward and take on that role. So we would like to ask for affirmation from the floor for Bill to take over that position. Nice. Thank you so much. And one last quick one. Again, Barry Hermanson will step up as a second signatory onto our bank account, just as a backup, an alternate signatory. And affirmation for Mr. Hermanson. Thank you. All right. So we're moving on to our goals and strategy report back. We were supposed to start that at 9:40. It is now 10:07. So if we want to just try and do Reader's Digest versions of the reports, and whoever is going to come up to present, please come forward. This is the goals and strategy report back from local and regional meetings. Presenters are various counties and regions. Don't all run up at once. So we just have one presenter? We are on agenda item goals and strategy, report back from local and regional meetings.
As you know, there were a few meetings that that happened around the state. I'm just going to hold this. To talk about goals and strategies, try to prepare us for this meeting here. So we had about, I think, a dozen people meet in San Francisco, and there were far more that met in San Mateo, Santa Clara, and I'm not positive where else around the state there actually were meetings that were held. But just very briefly, I just brought along the sheets that we hung up here. The state party, one of the things that we need to be thinking about is supporting our locals. And it's, for me, this is like a primary reason that we're here, is how do we help our locals grow? What can we be doing to help them? So sharing of information, trying to share what works and what doesn't, like best practices. Helping our locals with data, access to and management of it, so that perhaps we can provide some expertise that may or may not be available at the local level, or even identifying somebody at a local level who really might be able to help us at a state level and thereby help our other our locals. Fundraising, that's a very obvious thing. We need to be doing much more aggressive fundraising on a statewide basis. And to be, you know, part of the doing this is so that we can actually help some of our candidates. But lots of other infrastructure stuff that we need to be doing as well. We need to be doing sending out letters to new Greens on a regular basis. I mean, this is something we've been talking about in San Francisco for a while. We need to get off the dime and do it. And actually, this could be done on a statewide basis quite well to take some of that responsibility off of our locals. Anytime somebody does register as a Green, wouldn't it be nice if they got a letter to say thank you? You know, that would be nice. So that's something to on the drawing board. There we need to have better links to all of our counties. I do think that, you know, for instance, even providing some technology support to the counties so that if, for instance, they don't have a webmaster, we can help with that. And so there's information then for the general public about here's meetings happening and here's what's going on. And so there was a comment regarding update our grow page, and probably all of our pages can be updated. We listed out some areas that we should actually be working in, and as we did talk this morning, voter registration. Oh, thank you very much, Jim. Anna. So voter registration, you know, on big days to really be trying to coordinate folks to run out. Job of a political party is to run candidates. We thought we were going to have actually a candidate in San Francisco running for mayor, and she unfortunately is backing out, which I'm very disappointed about that. So rebuilding our internal infrastructure, help more locals to get started. So we need to really try to focus on that. We have Greens all around the state, but we have pockets of real strength here, and we need to get out and try to help areas where we don't have active locals. So engaging individual actions. Well, I'm not sure exactly what that means anymore. Started to talk a little bit about issues. Single-payer universal health care is a real obvious one. You know, tax the rich, end the wars. You know, it's not put down war, it's wars. What are we in, three wars now or more? Yeah. And need to do a better job of developing Green Party merchandise and voter guides. So a couple of our counties are doing a very good job on voter guides. So that's it. And so this, I think there's some duplication here. So I'll hand it over to Jim and...
Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County. So we, Santa Clara and San Mateo counties got together and had a strategy session similar to what Barry's describing. And it was well attended. I think we had, about 25, 30 people there. I think it was a pretty good session, but I think I facilitated and I wore everybody out pushing this thing through. When you facilitate, you kind of lose track of time and so anyway, we had a nice long session. I think these are really good exercises. I'd kind of like to, I mean, the whole grand scheme was kind of like, we're going to get all the counties and regions to participate in something like this and have, you know, a grassroots strategy for the party that, you know, comes up from the locals. You know, looking at, you know, what common themes come out of all the disparate strategy sessions. I still think it's a really good exercise for people to have. I encourage it to do it in your local. You know, it's a good way to draw new members in. You know, what more interesting than to talk about, you know, the future of the party and what projects we should be working on and so on and so on. And, you know, the butcher paper list of items we came up with is about the same as San Francisco, you know, a few others, but I think we're all sort of going to come up with the same ones, but there will be some unique ones in there from place to place. It's interesting to see, like, perhaps the difference between urban and rural counties, what kind of items they see as being important to work on and such. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but Okay. If, actually I was going to ask if there's other people from the region who want to put something in here.
One really strong thing that came out in our regional strategy meeting, and it's because I was yelling and screaming about it the whole time, is that a laundry list of many things that we need to do is not really going to get us anywhere. It's just another strategy meeting where we all go home and say, gee, wish we could do that. If we had 200 people in our local, we really could do that. We'd do a great job. And, of course, in San Mateo County, we are at a particular low right now with only 4 people on our county council and literally nobody else active. So that came up, and a lot of the discussion of these individual items that Barry was talking about and Jim was really, every time somebody mentioned something, I said, yeah, and who's going to do it? And, you know, and what do we do to make it better for locals to be able to do the stuff? So we had a lot of discussion on that kind of thing and some answers even.
And that reminded me of the important point I wanted to make, and it was just what Gloria was alluding to. Towards the end, when we got our usual, you know, butcher paper list of items that everybody thinks important, I walked everybody through a session of, okay, what stands in our way of getting these things? What things do we need that would allow us to accomplish all these things we listed there? And then we started, you know, we threw out a bunch of ideas and kind of whittled it down, and it all really came down to people and money. I mean, that's what we lack. We're certainly not, this is not a group that lacks in ideas. This is a group that lacks in resources, both human resources and monetary resources. So that was kind of our ultimate conclusion for the strategy session.
Hi, I'm Dana Silvernail, Humboldt County Greens. We're way up, which way is north? We're way up there. Humboldt County. So number one on our list is to modernize our website so that it can become a really inspiring resource and an educational tool. When I first got active in the Green Party and wanted to learn more about the 10 key values, I went on the Wikipedia website, and then they had links that took me on an adventure that was like walking down a forest trail and picking different forks to go down. I discovered deep ecology. I discovered, you know, that David Brower was, you know, a green. I never knew that. I mean, there was just so much to learn that inspired me about the party and gave me ways to communicate what the party really means to people. But that was on Wikipedia. Why isn't it on our website? So having a really powerful, modern website that links to incredible resources would be a huge, huge advantage and tool for all of us. And it would really help us activate other Greens, which I think is what we need to do. In Humboldt County, we have almost 3,000 registered Greens, but we only have, you know, one or two dozen that are active. Well, they're active in different other groups. They're in Democracy Unlimited. They're in environmental groups. But as far as the party goes, we only have a handful of people that are actively growing the party. And let's see. On issues, we really want to see us build our political power, and building our political power requires a few things. One of them is ranked choice voting so that people don't vote out of fear. So Humboldt County is making that our number one priority this year. We started tabling education. We did a fun educational tabling at our local co-op in Arcata, and the co-op agreed to make a list of 5 items that they'd be willing to put on sale, and people used ranked choice voting to vote for what they wanted to see it be on sale. So it's not controversial, and it was totally educational. It was fun, and I would say 95% of the people we talked to had never heard of ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting. So that's how much ignorance there is out there. And this is in Humboldt County at the co-op, right? So... And then our other priority is the movement to amend the Constitution. because obviously corporations are running our country, and we really need to help people understand the seriousness of that. We have a lot of support from the media now. It's pretty much mainstream information, but people, I don't think, really understand that they can do something about that. So those are the main focuses that we would like to see the state support us in from Humboldt County.
Hello, facilitator hats off. This is Kendra Gonzalez, Ventura County. And I wasn't going to come up and present, but it occurred to me when I was sitting up there, I'm like, wait a minute. We did have this grand plan, one of the many, to do strategic planning online on Wiki. So that does exist. So if you go to wiki.green or cagreens.org, there's a whole strategic planning link. And some people have posted lots and lots of ideas. In fact, Marnie's Green 2012 plan is on there, I think, right? Yeah. So you're more than welcome to go and put in your ideas, and we've set it up to either just be kind of a timeline thing or a free flow thing. So there's lots of different ways to just type in your ideas about strategic planning, and eventually we will gather all this data and we will form a written evolving strategic plan, which is, you know, what we really need. So I just wanted to say that. Remember Wiki. And also in August 20th, I think Adrian and I confirmed the date on the car trip on the way up here, Ventura is going to have a strategic gathering. We had been offering that. We picked a date. Ventura rocks in August. If you all want to get out of the heat, come to a really cool, mellow beach community for the weekend, come to Ventura. Mark your calendars for August 20th and 21st, probably a Saturday and half a Sunday. So it'll be kind of like a plenary, but more informal and a lot more training on the different IT things and outreach and just, you know, planning for the future of our party. All right, thank you.
Yay! I'm Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. Our region had a mini get-together. We had about five counties, Nevada, Yolo, Sacramento, El Dorado, Placer. We happen to have 32 counties in our region, so I had not a word from Fresno as to what they decided. But we talked about one county building as a place to have a small organization. And in some of our really small counties, I mean, a lot of you don't even know there is a Glenn or a Plumas or a Modoc. I mean, all of these counties. But even if you have a small three-person organization, you have a base then for tabling, volunteerism, and money collection. And we sort of came to an informal agreement that we'd have a really gallant state party if we had 58 counties as active members and people that actually show up. By the way, can I just give my personal comment? Congratulations to Monterey coming to this plenary. We haven't seen Monterey in a long time. But we were wondering, how do you take that wish list? Because we're 32 counties. So we have guilt that we're not supporting the state party enough because we haven't had more than 12 at one time organized. But how do you take something into our repertoire that keeps people going through a couple bad plenaries, through a couple electoral seasons that don't go well, like you have somebody like Obama try to take the cake away from all of us. And we thought if we could find a way to put statewide ballot initiatives on, or some type of initiative. And it was harkened back to a fellow named Caleb Klebner working with IRV in the year 2001. He had a vision to put a ballot initiative on a statewide ballot sponsored by the Greens in 2010 or 2012. In other words, it was a 10-year project, a long-range project, because all of our projects just go to this tabling season, the next election, and then we're left holding nothing. So I really want to, I mean, maybe we ought to listen to some of these little counties like Monterey, Shasta, Calaveras, that have been going now for over 10 years, and no one really pays much attention, but augmented properly, they could make a strategy that maybe we could put together that would last more than just the short term. And that was another question mark we had at our meeting, was how to take these strategy sessions a couple of them a year and actually get formal feed from them, formally feed them back up the ladder so that this party is led by these small groups. Obviously, in a place like Calaveras or El Dorado or Glenn County, that small group is defined. But a place like San Francisco or Los Angeles, where you have the option of having, 10, 20, 8, different locals, is also a great option also. So all that still leaves the question, where's the money and the volunteerism and the time going to come to do all this? And we didn't quite get around to answering that question pragmatically.
Yes, we did. We talked about initiatives. Oh, I'm Randy Hicks from Sacramento County. And we talked about initiatives such as the single payer initiative and what we would have to do to get our county to get involved in that in all the regional counties, especially the counties who are up in the red states like Shasta and other counties such as Placer County, and try to make those chapters strong so they would go out and support initiatives that are green values. And that was one of the things we talked about.
Thank you.
Thank you for all those great ideas, and let's keep them going. All right, our next item is a proposal, procedure for recommending names for presidential... I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question?
I guess so. Why not?
Clarifying
question.
I would like to actually...
Go to the mic, Shane.
Shane Cuhee, L.A. County. I just would like the people who have just commented to send written summary of what they said and what their... that's what I'm getting to both the wiki and to the minute taker, so it would be part of our minutes.
Oh boy, yes, it's a wiki, wiki.cagreens.org. Hey, I'm membered. Okay, so thank you, Shane. Our next item then is, and we've had to shave some time, and I would ask again, any side conversations, because they're starting to percolate, be taken out into the hall or outside. Let's honor the people making their proposals, please. Okay, I need a shush, folks. Thank you. Let's honor the people who are making their presentations. And this next one is procedure for recommending names for the presidential primary, and that would be presented by Sanda Everett and Mike Feinstein. You have the floor, and if we could wrap it up by 11:10 for the election, that would be groovy. Thanks.
Let's sit there, yeah.
I take that comment about shaving time seriously, personally. Right. So, and showing my age now, I have to take the glasses off to see. Most of you know that we've been using the Peace and Freedom Party's procedure for how our recommendations for presidential primary ballot get on the ballot, and that involves the Secretary of State sending a letter to our state party saying that in a certain period of time we need to communicate to her or him who our recommendations are, and in 99 out of 100 times the Secretary of State then will put those names on the ballot. In past years we've had a process that we've used, but we've never written it into our rules on an ongoing basis. We've done it in some ways different ways, and your agenda pack shows the ways we've done it in 96, 2000, 2004, and 2008. So what we're saying with this proposal is let's write something into the rules that's a constant that we have from time to time so we don't have to revisit it. And the primary goals, which are in the fourth paragraph in the background and purpose, are first to ensure that the names that are placed on the primary election ballot represent individuals who clearly intend to seek our presidential nomination. Two, that are in line with our state and national platforms. And three, who intend to run and are capable of running credible campaigns. The secondary purpose is to provide a public description of these procedures so that potential candidates will have the information needed for our presidential primary ballot access. And procedurally, this process administratively will involve our liaison to the Secretary of State earlier in the process by making that position the point of contact for submissions of requests by the candidates and the certification of the compliance of their requests. It will also involve the GPUS delegation and campaigns and candidates working group in making recommendations from among the applicant candidates. So now turn over to the actual text. There's five sections. I'll briefly summarize those. The first one, entitled Authority. What this does is says it's this GA that has the authority to make the recommendation to the Secretary of State as long as the GA goes ahead and meets. And those numbers, E-125 and E-190, that's the state elections code way of saying it's X number of days before the election. So whenever the primary happens, this way we're defining it, not in terms of calendar dates, but dates relating to the election day. But we also provide a fallback, and this was Warner Bloomberg's idea in his initial draft, which I don't think anybody in the party had ever thought of before, that if for some reason that the General Assembly doesn't meet, that we still have a fallback and that the coordinating committee would step in. And if in some reason that the coordinating committee doesn't deal with it, we fall back to the liaison of Secretary of State. So it just gives us a what-if earthquake, you know, God is forbid, who knows. But it provides that. But essentially, it clarifies that the authority rests with this body. Second, in terms of eligibility, 1-2.1, what that means in real language is that the person has to be part of, they can't be a member of a state party in any state that's competing with one of our Green parties anywhere in the country. That's one of the Green parties that's part of the Green Party of the United States. And then the other thing is that they, to be eligible, they actually have to send something in writing to us. They have to, you know, do that. And then the section 1.3 says what their written request has to do. So first, it has to be sent to the liaison of the Secretary of State, which we approved earlier now, and then a copy has to go to the co-coordinators of the GPUS delegation and campaigns and candidates working group. They can send it by email first if they follow it up later with their actual signature showing that it was them who sent the email. And the next part says it has to happen at least 7 days before the GA, but preferably much earlier. We may remember from 2007, we got some communications literally the afternoon or the morning of the day that we met, and this is saying it has to happen earlier than that. Then third, what does the statement have to include? First, yes, the person is seeking our national nomination. Two, they want to be on our primary ballot. Three, they're familiar with our state and national platform, and they tell us if there are places where they disagree and why. Four, that they will make a good faith effort to campaign in this state. Five, that if they receive the national nomination, they would actually accept that. And that was one of the ways we were dealing with the idea that people were paper or stand-in candidates for somebody else. We're trying to discourage that. And then that they also need to include their website, if they've responded to the National Party's Presidential Exploratory Questionnaire, and if they form an FEC committee, and what that committee number is, and a report of the funds they've received and spent. Next, Section 1.4, certification, that the liaison of the Secretary of State, in consultation with the co-coordinators of our national delegation and campaigns and candidates, will certify whether they've actually submitted their application in writing properly. And if indeed they've done so, they report those results to the delegation, CCWG, and the coordinating committee. And for those people who they're not certifying, they need to state why that person didn't properly submit their application. Then the liaison will tell the applicant the results of this, and if the, again, if they didn't comply, they explain to them why not, and there's an opportunity for them to resubmit in case they, you know, they want to resubmit based on what we've told them. Now, if the liaison rules one way or the other, and the General Assembly doesn't agree, that they say, hey, that person really should have been certified, or they shouldn't have been certified, this gives an opportunity for that to be overturned by the GA, and that 1.43 explains how that would happen, so that there's a backup, a check and balance. Finally, Section 1.5, decision making. All those candidates that were eligible under the processes that we've just described, then the GPUS delegation and the CCWG will meet, And if either of them votes to recommend that such person should be placed before the General Assembly, they'll be placed before the General Assembly. So either of those committees of ours can do that. And those recommendations, as it says here, have to happen at least 10 days prior to our General Assembly meeting, although preferably earlier. Then, let's assume that there might be some people that those committees didn't recommend. The next 1-5.2 says that the General Assembly, by a majority vote in cases where the General Assembly is dealing with it, or the CC, by a two-thirds vote in those cases where it's the CC that's dealing with it, could add additional names for consideration to this body. Essentially, the reason that it was only thought to be a majority vote there is that that is just for the person to be considered, and the idea of a lower threshold was thought to be appropriate, and then, of course, it's a higher threshold later to actually go ahead and approve them. Then, finally, on 1-5.3, once we're clear who all the recommended candidates are, then this body would go ahead through its regular decision-making process and by a two-thirds vote go ahead and recommend whoever it's going to recommend, and then those people will be communicated to the Secretary of State by our liaison to the Secretary of State, and we would copy that information both to our own internal working groups and the National Party's Presidential Campaign Support Committee. And that's it. So now, oh, that's right, you're copying. So now we go to clarifying questions. But you might
okay, does that conclude the initial presentation then? Okay, so we're asking for clarifying questions at this time, and let's please recall the distinction between clarifying questions and concerns. We will have a moment for, or we will have some time for concerns. Following clarifying questions, please state your name.
Okay.
Just preliminarily, do the presenters want to answer questions as they go or as a body? Okay, so let's hear all your clarifying questions. The presenters will answer after.
Gloria Purcell, San Mateo County. Clarifying questions. Under decision making, 1.1-5.1, all the candidates from among those eligible are recommended shall automatically be placed, blah, blah. Recommendations by either committee must be made at least 10 days prior to the meeting of the General Assembly or the CC. I'm just wondering if that wording takes into consideration agenda timing. The agenda packet has to come out a certain time beforehand, and you don't have to even answer that now. I guess what I would like to say is to make sure that wording does include consideration of agenda timing. If it doesn't now, that would be fine. And then I did want to know about the status of our election code correction, you know, the putting of our bylaws onto the election, and I imagine that's pretty much dead in the water at the moment, but if there's any update, I'd like to know. The part where it says written requests requesting placement upon the GPCA presidential primary ballot must be submitted to the GPCA liaison to the Secretary of State with copies to the co-coordinators of the GPUS delegation. And I wondered if maybe the liaison to the Secretary of State could simply make those copies so that the presidential candidates didn't have to do that. I don't know if that would be more convenient or not, but the more we can simplify the process, I thought perhaps that would be good. So please consider that. And that's just a typo there. Down on 1-3.3C, that, and I'm not sure if that would be where it would go anyway, but that the candidate should be provided with copies of the state and national platforms so that they can let us know if they agree to it with a, you know, with a reasonable time period. So that was it. Two typos, but...
Jane Rance, Orange County. I come from this from the perspective of just having served as liaison to Secretary of State, and
one of the things I learned in that position that it was purely a go-between person. There was no decision-making power. And I was just curious if 1-4.1 and 1-4.3, I was wondering if the presenters really intended to change that to a decision-making position, the liaison to the Secretary of State. It could be up for grabs the way it would be interpreted in 1-4.1 because it says in consultation with the co-coordinators, but then 1-4.3 specifically says the decision of the liaison to the Secretary of State. And just please clarify if that was your intent there. Thank you.
Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County. A couple clarifying questions here. Did you see my email? Did you get the email from...
I realize you didn't drive up here, but I put it out as one of the things I need to do before I left, and then I turned around and tried it, so I apologize.
Okay. Something of a clarifying question about this lengthy thing is actually kind of a mixture of bylaws and procedure, and you kind of have to separate the two out. It's be a fairly simple exercise to do just that. The other clarifying question is this sentence in 1-2.1, the one about the candidate must not be a registrant of any state or national level political party, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, except affiliated with GPUS. That was really confusing. We actually had a lengthy conversation and ended up having a conversation over this in our local about what exactly that means. And our discussion was around whether that prohibits us from accepting a declined estate person as our candidate. Okay, well, that needs to be clarified because that's what we were looking at and trying to figure out from that. Okay.
Peggy Coteen, San Luis Obispo County. I'm referring to 1-5.2. It says the GA may, by a majority vote, add additional names of candidates for consideration who meet criteria. So to me that reads, if a majority of us vote to add anyone's name, not a specific candidate, but we can vote, it doesn't say a specific candidate. It just says names of candidates. It's not clear to me. I mean, because we could just vote and say, okay, does everyone want to add candidates? And that would be the vote. That's what that's saying. Not, does everyone want to add David Cobb? So, so that's my clarifying question. And at the end of that 1-5.2, I'd like it maybe to read what percentage, if at least one-third of the number of delegates present co-sponsors a proposal to recommend someone eligible, the body shall decide upon that proposal. It might be best to write down the percentage, it's two-thirds or 80%, right in the body of that. And lastly, the word co-sponsors comes up often, and I didn't go to any Google site to find this out, but it seems like the noun co-sponsors would have a dash, but the verb co-sponsors, as it's used many times here, would not have a dash in it. If someone's co-sponsoring, it should not have a dash. And that's it. Thank you for all your hard work.
Randy Hicks of Sacramento. The only thing I had a concern about was under...
I'm sorry, we're in the clarifying question space.
Oh, this is a clarifying question. All right, I'm sorry about that. That's my fault. Timekeeper, made a mistake there. Okay, it says 1-3-3.4, Federal Elections Committee, name and number and report of funds received and spent. If the new FCC has been established in the name of the campaign treasurer and financial institution where campaign account has been established and a statement of funds received and spent, could you explain that to me? And also... what's the protection of the information, the financial protection of the information that's been sent out there? If under this it says that the name of the campaign treasurer has not been established. I'd like to see, you know, what kind of financial protection you have for that. Okay? Yeah, well, you know, make sure the information is going to where it's going to, because, you know, there's a lot of fraud.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here and just say it looks like we have a couple more people, and I'm going to close the stack here at the last person in line for clarifying questions.
Shane Cuhee, LA County. I've just got two questions. In 121, not to be a registrant of any state or national level political party individual's primary, except for, what happens if the candidate says they're an independent? Like NADA, for example. The other thing is, was the having a presidential primary special assembly ever considered as a second choice above the CC and the state liaison choices?
Doug Barnett, Los Angeles. For the first 150 years of this country, a presidential candidate never showed up at the convention. My real question is, can we draft people that don't qualify? Is that, because that's critical. Is that what I've heard? Is the General Assembly can draft?
No, I'm a concern.
Okay, so that we are closed on the stack for clarifying questions, and we're going to go to the presenters now who will answer the questions.
Thanks for all those thoughtful comments and clarifying questions. So first, on Gloria's point about trying to get the CCWG and the delegation to do things in conjunction with the agenda timing, with the understanding that our agenda is supposed to come out at a minimum of 3 weeks beforehand, what this language said is that there was this minimum of 10 days, but that we were asking them that it was preferable to do it as early as possible. The reason for that is that right now we're looking at a June primary. But remember, we had a February primary a couple of years ago. And the difficulty with the February primary is that compresses the timing back to, like, our state meeting in Riverside in 07 was in early September. Very few candidates were going ahead and declaring before September of the year before, other than, you know, Mr. Vesplay, who gets a good early start. So what we thought there is that we couldn't say necessarily that it had to be so far in advance to fit our absolute agenda process, because that could eliminate a lot of very substantial candidates just because everything was so early in the cases where there was a February primary. So that's why we made it a recommendation rather than a compulsion. On Gloria's second point about it should be the liaison that forwards to the CCWG and GPUS delegation, I think that's a wise move because that doesn't require the candidate to know extra people in our party. So the other delegation folks, just to be clear, what this would mean is you'd send one letter in to the liaison, and the liaison would then copy it to CCWG and the delegation. Do you other delegation people who are here, that makes sense? Okay, so let's accept that Gloria's as friendly. Then Gloria mentioned about should they have access to the platforms in a hard copy. I think the sense was that since the state and national platforms are on the web, that's the way, so okay.
About the time on the timing for the plenary too. I mean, it's just already an agenda item. The fact that there's a detail that comes in, like a week before, it's just a detail that comes in a week before.
Okay. Then on Jane Ranz's question about the word decision and what that meant, that was in the section specifically about certifying whether the letter that was sent to us asking to be considered was in compliance. So it was only that decision, no other decision made, and then that decision was appealable. So that's what it was referred to, and since it was in that line, hopefully that was clear that's, your question was essentially, is this some other decision, or is it only?
Well, if you want me to, no, I really want to know if you meant to use the word decision.
Yes, it was a decision, it meant the decision about whether Jane Rand's potential candidate sends a letter to us, was your letter compliant with these rules? Verified? Okay, delegation people, taking verified. Warner, you're breathing hard? You okay? Okay. Okay, so we accept That wasn't a really hard sign. Sorry.
The number you're changing?
Yes.
1.0.
Yes, this is one, keep going, written request certification. It was in 1.43, the verification by the liaison to the Secretary of State would be how it would be changed. Okay, the next one. Jim Stauffer brought up that some of this should go into bylaws and some of this should go into rules and procedures, and I would ask whether we could to address Jim's concern, whether we could empower this group today to accept the language as is, but to give direction to the bylaw committee to come back to our next plenary with a recommendation of where it would bifurcate the language. Jim, are you still here? All right, let's come back to that when he comes back in the room. Peggy and Doug Burnett asked whether the putting somebody on the ballot from, or putting them on the agenda from the floor means could anybody go on? And if you read the end of that sentence, it answers that question because it's only people who had qualified under 1.3 being submitting the proper written request. So no, we couldn't just draft anybody out of anywhere. It had to be somebody who applied to us and who had applied and in keeping with our rules. So come up when we get to the concerns then and see if we can address it then. Hold on to that one if that didn't meet your concern. Okay. Then Peggy had asked about whether we should be saying it 1/3 or 33%. And I would ask others who are longtime bylaw people, and again, I think Jim Stauffer is out of the room. I think in our bylaws we go back and forth. In some places we say 2/3 for 2/3, but we say 80% for 80%.
It says if at least 1/3 of the delegates present co-sponsors a proposal to recommend. So this is just 1/3 recommending. Then there's the body is deciding. What's the decision for the deciding? It's two different things. Is it 1/3 here, and that's just to present it? And then what's the number?
Right. So we're basically saying, so let's assume we were at the presidential primary meeting, and we've read the list. There's these five people we're putting on. Now somebody gets up from the floor and they said, we think Linda Pira Avila should be added. It would take 1/3 of the delegates here to raise their hands together to say, yes, that is now a proposal. Then a majority of the GA would vote on that proposal. 51, simple majority. That is at the top of the paragraph. It has that at the top of 1.52. It says by a majority vote that anybody that the GA wants to add comes by a majority vote. So it answers that one there. So, okay, you can think about it if you want to have that change in some other way to make that clear. I would suggest that we accept as friendly the taking out the dash and co-signers. Thank you, co-sponsors. Oops, sorry. Thank you, Peggy, for that. On 1.3.1-3.4, Sandra, you want to answer that one about the Randy Hicks had that question about
Well, as far as confidentiality, it's all posted on the web. I mean, the FEC, you can clearly see who's donated what to whom, so there is no confidentiality.
And then the point about if they hadn't filed with the FEC, that they should go ahead and put out the information that they do have. Warner, you were the one who originally drafted that language, which I think was a fallback in case they hadn't yet filed their official committee. Okay, so that was the intent of that one. There were two questions about whether 1-2.1 was allowing independent or declined to states. And yes, that was the intent. And what that meant is by saying not being a registrant of any state. And let me suggest right now that we change that from saying not being a registrant to not being a registrant and or member, because actually there's only 27 states in the country that one can register in a party, and other state parties one is just a member. So delegation people, that makes, okay. If people feel that we need to be more explicit And this in the negative, this is the old double negative. If you're not a registrant of another competing political party, then you're either a Green or you're independent. That's what, and our law school person, Jared, maybe you can confirm if that logic is right, but that was the intent of it. If it wasn't clear enough, maybe we can sit here and wordsmith a sentence saying, and that means if you're independent. But I can't think of how to say it off the top of my head, but if the people are happy with that, let's keep wordsmithing that. Okay, and then finally, there was a question about, can we have a special GA for the presidential primary? The intent of this is that by defining the period within which the GA has to meet, it's either going to happen at a GA that's a regular GA for everything else, or we're going to end up having a GA just for this. Either way, the GA has to meet within a certain time period for it to act. So I think it does contain the sense of what people were saying, that if we aren't meeting for any other reason, we still need to get together for this reason.
Okay, so we're going to open a stack now for concerns. Please line up if you have any, and of course state your name and... But I'm sorry, no, concerns, as we've already...
We're concerns and affirmations.
Concerns and affirmations, yes, thank you. Yes, concerns and affirmations. And yes, a time check right now, I think we have... we're supposed to start the next item at 11:10. Thank you. Our time checker is telling us 10 minutes. 15. Our time... Yes. Our timekeeper is telling us we have 15 minutes on the item, so as always, please be brief and state your name. Thank you.
Okay. Michael Rubin, Alameda County. I have a number of concerns. I'll do it from memory. First off, I have a concern about people being not allowing people registered in other parties to be considered as candidates in our party. And the person I'm thinking about right now is Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan would be an excellent candidate if she would be willing to run in our party. She is currently registered Peace and Freedom. Just as an example, I am not in favor of banning her, which is the effect of this. That's the first thing. The second thing is I have a problem also with the question of banning favorite sons or stand-in candidates. There are reasons, as we know in the past, where it made sense to have stand-in candidates because. And I refer people to the question of Ralph Nader years ago when he was, for reasons of his own, unwilling to declare publicly that he was a candidate until a certain time had passed, and we needed a stand-in, and we had a stand-in, and I have no problem with that, and I object to it being banned in the future. And the last thing is the question of one of the criteria is being able to run a reasonable campaign, which is totally undefined. That's a very, very subjective opinion, especially in a party as small as ours. And so I think it either should be dropped or better defined, or something needs to... We need some guidance if we're going to make decisions along that line. We need better guidance than is in the current proposal.
Warner Bloomberg, Santa Clara County. As a campaigns and candidates working group coordinator in 2007, I had the difficult task of bringing this kind of an issue to the plenary. Without having any rules or procedures to refer to, and we sort of made them up on our backsides in campaigns and candidates working group, and it was a very difficult and stressful presentation. So I want to strongly affirm the appropriateness and need that such a set of procedures be adopted, and the time constraint is for doing this now is that at least in theory there are people out there who are at least beginning their candidacies, and they need to know what they need to do to get on the California ballot, particularly if we end up having a February primary again. I do have a concern. My concern is that there's no provision in the proposal for a clear and transparent publication of the procedures that if we do adopt any, and I would request that the final form of the procedures themselves be published as Appendix D to our bylaws. Thank you.
Woody Hastings, Sonoma County, and this is regarding the eligibility requirement 1-2.1, I believe is what it is. My concern is that I may be faced once again with explaining ad nauseum over and over and over again to people why our candidate is not registered in our party. That's my concern. And there are a lot of concerns that follow from that. I understand the need to accommodate the registration question in states where there's no ability to register as a Green Party member. But I think that I'm wondering if it would be possible to include an affirmative statement in there that if you are in a state where you can register Green, you must be to qualify for as a presidential candidate in the Green Party, you got to be registered as a Green. Thank you.
Before we go forward, I want to close the stack here because our time is getting short. So if you have a concern. If you don't have a concern, I see nobody else. I'm going to go ahead and close the stack at Gloria Purcell, or is Peggy? So Peggy will be the last person on the stack. Thank you.
Doug Barnett, Los Angeles. There's a wonderful film, Who Shot Liberty Valance, where they draft a twit lawyer to be territorial senator. If John Jr. had walked into the Democratic Convention in 2000, he would have been president. I'm really concerned with floor drafting of uncertified candidates.
Jane Rands, Orange County. I also want to start off, like Warner, with an affirmation. I think this is very thorough and well written and appreciated. It's kind of interesting. Michael brought up his concern about wanting to open it up so that non-Greens could be on our ballot, and then Woody followed up with the other way around, with that you have to be a Green to be on our ballot. But, you know, to not cause a split, this is kind of a good balance, allowing for independence. But then I want to harp on my same little concern here back on 141 and 143. I'd actually like to change those to specifically state that the coordinating committee would be making the decision, where it says it shall be the responsibility of the liaison to Secretary of State in consultation with the co-coordinator of the GPS delegation. Maybe put it all on the coordinators and put in there that because the liaison is always going to fill that role of communicating. And then back on 143, even though you offered a good friendly amendment, to maybe have that, even if you're going to call it verification, you can change it back to decision, but by the coordinators, because I hate to think that the General Assembly would have to appeal a verification even of the liaison to Secretary of State again, so that if the liaison is kept in this position of not being able to do anything contentious, or that people trust what they're doing, that they're doing the will of the GPCA.
Jared Leite, Sacramento County. Again, on 1-2.1, I'm sympathetic to Michael's concerns. A possible amendment would be not be a registrant of Republican or Democratic parties. But if we are going to keep this language and also change it to include members of any party, we need to consider that not every party runs candidates, not every party seeks ballot access, so it's possible to be a member of some other party and also be a Green as well. So I would, if we are going to say members in this sentence, I would say not be a member of any state or national level ballot qualified party.
My major concern, apart from the 1-2-1 clarification, is that the notification of who wants to be a candidate should be spelled out. That is, I think it should be directly to the CC, and it should also be spelled out that the CC should recommend to any general assembly which candidates essentially it believes essentially fit the bill best for the purposes of the GPCA.
My concerns is also about the language around... Oh, my name is June Bershare, Sonoma County, and my concern is also around the language around the registration of the candidate. I'm concerned about it being written in the double negative. We do have a lot of different views around it, and I think just adding that confusion of the double negative makes it feel a little less straightforward, and people can, you know... The first time I read it, I thought, oh, could you be a Republican in California then? And then I reread it and thought, okay, no, you couldn't, but you could be just not registered at all. And my concern is I don't know if it's clear to people that you wouldn't really have to be registered to vote at all, which may be what we want, but I just think if that's what we want, we should say you don't have to be registered at all. So I would encourage us to change it to the affirmative of what it is that you really want, which I understand to be, you know, a registered green if you have a green party or decline to state, or if you don't, if you're in some state that you can't register as a green, you can't be in some other party. But I think we should write it that way just so there's clarity. I don't know that we can get consensus on that, but at least then it'd be a little bit more clear on what we're trying to do.
Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County, and I have a general concern. I don't particularly like long, complex, detailed procedures because inevitably you're going to find something you trip over that holds you up from doing what we all wanted and stuff. I would have preferred something simpler. But one real specific concern is that this procedure seems to be doing the work of the GPUS. I mean, they're going to have a screening process on who they let into their national nominating convention, and we seem to be taking on too many things that they should be asking. A couple of examples that come to mind is that we're asking them to, you know, tell us if they support the GPUS platform. Let's ask them about our state platform and let GPS worry about whether they're adhering to the GPUS platform. And there's a couple other things in there like that that are really more geared toward getting into the national convention. I'd like something a little simpler that just deals with getting on our ballot. And also, in general, in the past, we've been pretty loose with who we let on. There are some people who really weren't planning on running some big, huge national campaign, but they were activists. They were doing something. They wanted their name on our ballot for... you know, on our presidential primary ballot, and we do have a lot of latitude about who we can put on there, and we don't get that anymore with this. This is for people who are running serious campaigns only. And I don't see any, you know, this thing is trying to address some very real problems that we had in the past, but those were problems with the candidates that were really running national campaigns. Our ride-alongs, our state ride-alongs who just wanted a name on the ballot, they haven't been a problem, and I would still like to allow them to be on there myself. And also a concern, the thing about the liaison, where the General Assembly is supposed to approve these names, and if they fail to do it, the Coordinating Committee will do it, and if the Coordinating Committee fails, then the liaison can do it. I have a problem with the liaison, because if both the GA and the CC have failed to do their job on something as big and visible as this list of candidates, I'm not willing to leave it up to just one person, because there's something going terribly wrong elsewhere if we're in that position. So I really don't want to leave it to a liaison sitting in his house over on the coast saying, okay, well, it's going to be this person, and that person. So I want to leave it just at the GA and the CC, and if we fail at that, we fail.
Gloria Purcell, San Mateo County. I'd like to strongly affirm this proposal. And at the same time, I'm hearing all not the big concerns so much as the wordsmithing kind of thing. So, and Mike seems quite willing to do a little wordsmithing to make it to focus down on some of the details. and I'd like to encourage that. One thing that I thought of later, Mike, was that there's nothing in there about what if we propose a candidate, if we approach a candidate, which, as you may recall, we did to Ralph Nader, or Walt Shesby did. So you might want to include that. And I think my last point is that if Cindy Sheehan wants to run for president, I would be very happy to see her on our ballot, and she should register green.
Peggy Cotin, San Luis Obispo. Yes, I'd like to affirm all the hard work. Thank you. I'm still have a concern with 1-5.2. My concern was not addressed. It might be better to rearrange the wording so that the last sentence somehow comes first. Something like, one-third or more of the GA delegates may recommend a specific individual or a specified individual who meets the criteria under 1-3 but who was not recommended by the GPUS delegation or the CCWG. The specific individual will be added if a majority of the GA supports him or her. Otherwise, I am concerned that the way it's worded, it looks like that a majority of us can just say, we want to add names. So that's wordsmithing, yes, but I don't know if my wordsmithing suggestion is getting through. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the concerns. The stack is closed for concerns. We have to take a little time check here because we're about 3 minutes over. We, according to our agenda, should have started the election for GPUS delegation at 11:10, so we're going to have to make a decision on what to do with the time. So we're going to have to shave some time someplace again. So the GPUS delegation candidate Q&A and election, it was supposed to start at 11:10. I'm going to just sort of arbitrarily suggest that we start that at 11:25 instead. Do the presenters think they can resolve these concerns within that time frame? 11:25. Okay, does that sound reasonable to people? That we'll test for consensus and such after addressing concerns, and we'll see. Okay, we've got a hand up there. Is that? Is it possible to post amendments and changes to the screen? We're told that we don't have that capability, unfortunately. Always better, unfortunately not right now, but we'll go to the presenters now.
Okay, I'm going to go in reverse order here. On Peggy's suggestion on 1.53, we thought we would suggest simply taking the last sentence, 5.2, sorry, and place that at the beginning of the paragraph and then simply add the word then, comma, the GA may by a majority vote. So that way, we think that rather than trying to wordsmith 100 words inside the paragraph, that puts the clarification that it requires that to happen first. And you know what, if we have to come back to another GA with a couple small tweaks, but that would be a way to get at that. Okay, GP. Who's GP? Gloria Patel. Gloria asked, what if we approach a candidate? They still have to file a written request. So we could certainly be proactive, but they would still have to send us the letter. So we can do what you're saying. So Jim Stauffer asked about whether we would drop the liaison and just have the CC, the GA and then the CC. Warner, Bloomberg, you were the one who had originally written this draft and provided... Okay, so we'll drop the reference to the liaison doing that, and that occurs in a couple different places in the document. But in the final minutes, it would be reflected there. So let's accept that as friendly. Jim Stauffer was talking about that we need to be loose as we had, or have the ability to be loose as we had been in the past. And he had also mentioned that he thought that this draft was providing issues about credibility, and credibility was subjective. The credibility word was used in the introduction, but it appears nowhere in the actual text of the proposal. I would say subjectively, the desire that somebody has formed an FEC committee, or if they haven't done an FEC committee, that they provide their financial information and that they're willing to run inside the state, and those were the two things that one might say, how are we defining a credible campaign? But there's no subjectivity actually in the text. That was a stated goal up front. So there are just objective things that we would deal with internally. In terms of being loose, the fact that the GA from the floor, by a simple majority vote, could put anybody's name on the ballot as long as they've submitted a letter to us would provide, I think we think back to 2004 when Lorna Salzman went on, for example, from New York State. She didn't really run much of a national campaign. I think she would have fit the definition of what Jim Stauffer was saying before. That would be allowed under this proposal. Even if the campaigns or candidates or GPS delegation didn't recommend that person, anybody could put that person forward from the floor and by a simple majority vote. So the same flexibility would remain as before in terms of putting people who aren't big names, if that's what this group wanted to do. Shane Q, he wanted the CC to making the recommendations rather than the GPUS delegation or the campaigns and candidates. Our bylaws talk about that the GPUS delegation, and I don't have specific words in my head, but that the GPUS delegation is primarily responsible for national affairs, and the campaigns and candidates being a campaign and candidate-related group, we thought that those two groups made the most sense. The coordinating committee is administrative body primarily for the party, and people aren't chosen to make political choices like this, so the delegation did not ever consider the coordinating committee doing that, and I don't think that that would be in keeping with the sentiment that we had in the delegation. So I would suggest that if this passes today and you wanted that to happen, to bring it back for another meeting to see if the delegation would accept that as an amendment. Okay, Jared was talking about situations where there are states where the Green Party doesn't have a ballot line, but that they're a member of the Green Party in that state, but then legally they could be a member of another ballot-qualified party. A lot of this gets into 1-2.1. I believe the existing language as it is would address your concern because it's saying that you couldn't be a member, any state where the Green Party exists and is recognized by the GPUS, you couldn't be a member of a competing party. So that should address what you were talking about, and look at it again while I go through the rest of them and see if we're wrong about that. Then Woody brought forward the idea that we should clarify that those states where you can register green, that we shouldn't just be saying you're either registered green or a member, but we should specifically state that where you are registered green, where you can register green, you must be registered green. And I think that, and looking at all the delegation people here, I think that would be consistent with what we had voted on before and would be friendly to clarify that in those states where one can register green, you should be registered. What this says is that you, in those states where if you're not a green, you can be a declinant state, but in the state where you are, well, no, you're right, you might be right, where you are a green, you have to actually be registered, not rather than just being some sort of member.
I don't think that's something we could get consensus on, because I think there's a lot of people that feel, I mean, obviously, if there was another person who made a deathbed promise that they would never register in a political party and they wanted to run to be our presidential candidate, I think we still need to be able to honor that. So even though I would prefer that they be registered green, I can see leaving it as that they can be declined state.
So to be clear, the language as submitted does mean to say, although we can get into the double negative discussion, does mean to say that you can either be a Green or a decline the state slash independent, but you can't be a member. I mean, that's the intention, but you can't be a member of another party. So that was that intent of that. I can't call on anybody else. I was just trying to get a clarification on what we're responding to. So let's go with the remaining responses, and then we'll check from our outstanding concerns. Okay, so then we would leave it as we had said before. Warner said that there was no place for a clear, transparent publication of the procedures, and he had suggested doing this as an appendix to the bylaws. We had this disagreement inside the delegation about whether this was meant to be an appendix to the bylaws or whether it should be part of the rules and procedures. And earlier in the discussion, we had accepted an amendment that this would be recommended to the bylaws committee to take the approved text here and decide what to recommend back to us about which should remain in the bylaws and which should remain in the rules and procedures. I would ask Warner if he would be willing to consider that as a way of addressing his concern now, since the delegation specifically said, no, we didn't want the whole thing as an appendix, and then see where the bylaws committee comes back in terms of how it divides it and where it goes. But maybe as a as an additional way of dealing with what you're saying, maybe the party can explore a way of simply publishing the procedure outside of our party rules so that there's a space somewhere, maybe on the delegation homepage, that simply says procedure for writing to the GPCA over and above anything else, so you don't have to be a person who dives into the rules. And delegation people, separate from whether that addresses Warner's concerns, is the idea of saying that we would publish on the delegation homepage how you write the letter, essentially describing this procedure. Delegation people, does that make sense as at least good in and of itself? If you say something, okay. So let's accept that as friendly. Almost done. There were the ones that seemed to be the toughest then. There was Michael Rubin had said that he prefers to allow stand-ins. It was the consensus of the delegation that we should not allow stand-ins, so I don't think that would be friendly to accept that. The National Party. Yeah, the National Party amended its party rules as well. No stand-in nationally can receive the nomination. There's a specific clause, and basically the way that, just to take the moment and explain the national one since you raised that, is on the first round for the national convention, anybody who received a vote inside a state party could receive that vote in the first round of voting nationally. But only people who are willing to accept the nomination can win the nomination. So if somebody in the first round got a majority vote but they were a stand-in, they wouldn't receive the nomination. It would just move to round two. And then in round two and afterwards, only people who have stated in writing that they're willing to accept the nomination shall even be able to have a vote cast in their name. So if somebody was a stand-in, once you get to round two nationally, you don't even count their name. It doesn't even get heard. So that intent was meant to be very consistent here to eliminate the stand-in approach. So I think where this left us was mostly that people were concerned a bit with 1-2.1 and whether that could be, so I'll just finish the sentence since I'm doing a long German running sentence, that the to restate 1-2.1 in a positive rather than a double negative, if it's the sense of the group here that they're okay with the rest of the proposal with the amendment, I didn't address yours, I'll go back to yours, yes. Jane wanted us to substitute the coordinating committee instead of the liaison to make the verification. That's entirely different an entirely different thing than what the delegation approved of. I don't know that the four or five of us who are here could make that substantial of a change on behalf of the delegation. I understand that you're talking about trying to just keep... Okay, good. Okay, so we're cool there. All right, so if it's the sense then, so asking the facilitators then, if maybe what we could do here then is if we can get a sense of the group that if the group is okay other than the issue of rephrasing 1-2.1 into proactive positive language, that we could get the sense here that we're okay with that, send a couple of us to Wordsmith, and then come back for a final approval once we have that dash.
All right, just for clarity, you're saying come back for final approval at what point?
I think we need to send a few of us to the back room
Okay, so let me do a quick test for consensus first of all. Are there any outstanding concerns at this point? We've got a few. Okay, do they address the point that the presenters just made? Okay, would they have been resolved by? Well, excuse me. Okay. At this point, just procedurally, we're running behind time. So what we're trying to do is see if we can resolve this, if we can hear the concerns and have the presenters resolve this while we're running the GPUS election. I don't know if that's going to be, logistically possible, but maybe.
Testing.
Okay. So those who have concerns at the moment. Oh, okay. So we do still have some concerns. I'm sorry to ask again, but can we see hands of anyone who still has a concern? Okay. Do they address 1-2.1? They're not involved in that. Okay. Then I'll ask. Are you willing to stand aside on the concerns? Okay. And you're willing to stand aside? I believe we have consensus then. Thank you, everyone. All right.
Based upon the return language. Right.
Okay.
And I'm off to another room.
Okay. I'm sorry, we have a point of process. I would invite those who have elected to stand aside on their concerns to state their concerns for the record.
Jim Stoffer, Santa Clara County. My two outstanding concerns kind of run together. I think Mike misunderstood the concern I had about not having a looser procedure that lets people in, because even the candidate nominated from the floor, if there's a third agreement, has to be eligible under Section 1.3 is the big, huge filter. No candidate is going to be allowed, no matter who nominates them or what, unless they clear all the hurdles of 1-3. So we still have this incredibly tight thing. So, okay, it's not my vision of the Green Party, but I'll stand aside on it. And the second one was something else that related to that. Yeah, the GPU. We're basically doing GPUS's job for them in too many places here. It's the same thing, just real tight, high hurdles to overcome and all this stuff. I don't think we should be testing for all the stuff that GPUS should be testing for at the National Nominating Convention.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. I just want to make the statement that I believe that the proposal that we have consensus to today makes us a less democratic party than we've been in the past.
Shane Cuhey, Los Angeles County. My outstanding concern was that the CC of the GPCA was left out of the loop, and Michael has agreed to include it as the CC from the candidate's side, so that everyone gets the information at the same time. So I've accepted that, and I believe he accepted that. So my outstanding concern has been addressed.
And we're back.
Okay, so the next item is the GPUS delegation election and candidate Q&A. And
Oh, except I wanted to read the procedure. Yeah, let's bring it to me.
All right. Thanks for the patience. Technical difficulties here. We're playing hopscotch, too.
Okay. In your packet, there was a form that pages looked like this, except it had lots of question marks on it. The question marks were just an anomaly when we switched from a web page to a PDF. They didn't mean anything. Okay, so now this is now the ballot printed without the question marks and with the added of no other candidate. Unfortunately, we only added the no other candidate after the alternates, and the person that printed them, I won't, to be unnamed, forgot to put it under the delegates as well. So you need to add yourself a line for no other candidate. So on a ranked choice vote, and it's, all these instructions are in your packet, on a ranked choice ballot, you indicate a yes by ranking the candidate, 1, 2, 3. Don't make everybody 3. You know, like give them a ranking. And you indicate a no vote by just not ranking them. And when you want to say that you're stopping the number of people that you're ranking, you mark no other candidate. So like you rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no other candidate is 8. However, unless, in the past we had a problem that people only rank people that they actually know, and then we have really great candidates that didn't get elected. So what I'm asking you is to rank everybody unless you know them and you know that they'd really be an awful delegate. So please do rank everybody, otherwise they won't pass the threshold to be actually elected. And we have way more seats than we have candidates. Basically, we have 19 candidates for 29 available delegate seats and 13 alternate candidates for 30 available seats there. So ideally, and when the delegation doesn't know a reason for any of these people not to be elected, so it would be great if everybody got ranked, unless, like I say, you know that there's a reason that they shouldn't. So what's going to happen is I'm going to, before the people do the next procedure, which is telling you about the CC election, I'm going to step to the back of the room, and people, I'm trying to do this without being disruptive. Maybe I should wait until after that. Yeah, you got an idea to distribute them?
If people hold up their delegate cards, you can just hand them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but okay. So you're going to hold up your delegate card. I'll walk around the room and hand you your ballot. You don't need to hand your ballot back in until after lunch. I'm not sure who, Barry, do we know who they're being handed into, who our election committee is? Identify somebody. Will you identify somebody, please? You'll take them? Yeah, oh, true. That's a great idea. I was going to do that. Now, some of these candidates are in the room, and about two-thirds of them have already been on the delegation and are running for re-election. So if you're a candidate on here and you're in the room, please stand up. Well, all their bios have been posted online for 2 months, and you've received notice on the county contact list that, you mean to identify which one they are? Oh, I will introduce them. Okay. Okay, so, all right. Chris, okay, sit down. Thank you. Okay, I got it. Sorry. Chris Bellucci, who's also our media coordinator, state media person. I thought I saw him. Yeah, I don't see him right now. Okay, Peggy Cotin. I don't think Lisa's here. Lisa Sue, no. Richard Chacker's not here. Sarah Meir's not here. Mike Feinstein, you know who he is. I'm Sandra Everett. Kent Messplay. Woody Hastings. Bob Marsh. Lowell Downey, I don't know. Jesse Townley. Dana St. George is here. No, Dana is not here. I thought I saw her. No, okay. David Gessinger? Ah, hello. Nice. And sometimes I never meet the delegates, you know, like we just do teleconferences. Connor Dixon is there, tall guy in the back of the room. Kate Tanaka's not here? But okay, Aki Tanaka, though, is here, right there. Marnie Glickman, and her husband Gary is not here. doing child care duty. Okay, Linda Pierre-Avila is here. Elizabeth Davies. Dana Silvernail is here. Lucy Colvin. That's not Lucy Coleman, even though he just stood up. Carol Brule is not here. Lindsay Vorek. Okay, Michael Rubin. Torger Johnson. Doug Barnett. Marla Bernstein. Or Bernstein. She is here. Oh, that's Marla. Ah, I didn't make a connection between the two. Okay, Ricardo Gomez. He's not here. Joan Strasser. Not here. And Lori Napshin. Okay. So, and if you want to, part of the reason we let you make the, do the ballots after lunch is if you want to talk to anybody during lunch, you can. So, though probably somebody will be available, a barrier will be available to collect them sooner if necessary.
So if we could have everyone hold up their delegate cards, they will have a ballot brought to them. So just because we have another item coming up quickly, we'll try to do this as in an orderly fashion as possible. Yes, rank the candidates in two separate bodies. So start over when you get to the alternates.
No, actually, how will I know that everybody...
Okay, so again, have your delegate cards out, and you will have a ballot given to you. That ballot will be turned in to Barry Hermanson after lunch. In the meantime, could we have the presenters for the next item please come to the front? That's going to be the introduction for the election procedure for CC at-large seats. Is there a presenter for that item? That's Jim Stocker. Thank you.
Okay, are we ready to proceed here? If we could hold down the chatter a little bit.
I'm proud of this. And it really would be better to hand out the ballot before we proceed, because there's a certain amount of conversation involved in getting up
there. Okay, well.
We've been asked to identify the person to whom you will be turning in your ballots. That would be Barry Hermanson, who's standing to my right in the blue baseball cap. He's waving his hand there. Please give your ballot to him after lunch.
Okay, are we pretty much done and ready to move forward here? Okay, so as I'm sure you all just remember these nice clear details, 2 years ago, we actually agreed to restructure the coordinating committee, where we had been a 20-member body with, 16 regional seats and 4 at-large seats. We have now restructured into a 24-member body with 12 regional seats and 14 at-large seats. So what we're doing here during this session is getting this at-large election sort of moving forward. The actual at-large election is going to be an online election, and it will be opened up within 2 weeks after this plenary, and it will stay open for how long? I think it stays open for a month, basically, to gather all the details during the trial period. Okay. Well, I'm not singing here, but I believe that's what we said. We were going to leave it open for a month, subject to debate, I suppose. Now, and the way this works, now, first of all, page 10 of your agenda packet has the description, kind of a summary description of this whole process. So we really need counties to look at this and understand what's being asked of you and how this whole thing's going to work. So basically, each county will get the number of votes equal to the number of delegates you were allocated for this General Assembly. So that's how many votes you get. There is an online voting page that will be available. Yeah, and the URL where the voting page is listed on page 10 up towards the top in those top couple of paragraphs. That's where it will be. And Bert Huber is the one who's doing the scripting and designing on that thing. And we've really made every effort to make it as easy and friendly to use as possible and error-free as possible and try and catch all the common problems that are made and try and prevent those from getting in there. And we have steps for counties to they will be validated and verified and all this stuff. So what we're asking is that each county select one person who will enter the data, your county's data, into this online voting page. And after the person enters the number of ballots, you know, like if you've got four delegates here, your county's going to get four votes. The person will go up there and will vote four times on this page. And then the person entering the data will get a review screen to verify that they entered things properly, and also an email will be sent back to the county to the person who entered the... There's an email sent back to the person who enters the data? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. So an email will also be sent back to the person saying, this is your vote. So we're you know, duplicating and making sure over and over again that the data gets entered correctly. And then what this online data page does really is just collects all the data, stores it into a data file that is formatted in a specific way so it can be read by the software program that we use, like for the GPUS election and when we've done our internal... When we do an election here at the plenary, we use a program. That's the same program we're going to use. The web page just collects all the data for it and puts it into the format. Now, there are... because this is the first election of these 14 seats, we tried to get, seven, and we're going to have, from here on forward, we want staggering terms for these 14 seats. So every year we elect seven candidates. So to get that staggering off, we wanted to have half the candidates running for a two-year term and half the candidates running for a one-year term. We didn't quite get that 50-50 split, but we do have two-term candidates and one-term candidates. So you have to cast a ballot for each. Those have to be two separate elections. That gets our staggered terms off to the right start. So you'll see that up on the page. There's actually two ballots on that page, clearly marked 2 year and 1 year, and the appropriate candidates listed under each. If there is any county that really doesn't have computer access or is simply not comfortable with this online thing and you're not sure and all that stuff, then we can do it by a mail-in ballot for you folks, but we need to know who you are. And so if there is anybody who, you know, would prefer to use a mail-in ballot than this online ballot thing, we ask you to for now contact the coordinating committee, I hope you all know how to get there, but it's their address is gpca-cc@cagreens.org. That's the coordinating committee's email address. If you need a mail-in ballot, contact them, and we'll get one out to you. Okay, are there... Pardon me? Well, if you don't have access to a computer, and, well, if you don't have any access to a computer, you're kind of disconnected from the Green Party in a lot of ways. if you don't have access to a computer, you better be talking to your neighboring counties in a region or something, get a telephone number or something like that. I mean, I really can't offer a hell of a lot of solutions to people who don't have any computer access at all. Yeah, there are public computers available. But I would say get somebody, call up somebody you know who has a computer, at least go up to the Greens website and you can get telephone numbers for the coordinating committee and call someone. Okay? I mean, there's got to be some way to get through to the Green Party if you're a recognized local. Yeah, knowing who your regional rep is would be a big step. We're a little short on regional reps right now. Okay, now are there any of these candidates in the room, the at-large coordinating committee candidates? Year one?
I just want to make sure.
Okay, wait till I'm done.
Or maybe I should wait until then. Because I'm missing my nomination. But I already talked to Martin.
Okay, well.
Whether it's proper for me to do it now or
Okay, so how many candidates in the room? Can we see hands raised? Okay, so we've got three. There's nine people originally submitted names. There are a couple people who have withdrawn. You'll hear an announcement or two. So I think we're probably down to about six or seven candidates, and there's three of them in the room. Just almost concluded. Okay, so anyway, yeah, we're just about done here with the little intro. So the important thing is you will be getting an announcement on the county contacts list saying voting is now open. And you know, the web page to go up to. The web page is going to contain all the candidates, their candidate statements, and the ballot is going to be up there, and hopefully everything you need. Please, and we would really like this to work. We would like this process to work real well. So, you know, if there's any questions or problems or concerns at all when you get up there, we'll list some names and email addresses and phone numbers and stuff to contact to get questions answered. Okay, thank you.
We have one working mic here, so if we could ask the candidates to maybe introduce themselves quickly, and then I imagine if people have questions, it's probably going to be directed to all three of you, so just in turn answer.
I'm Joe Feller. I'm from Solano County, and I live in Vallejo, and I've been a Green Party member and a member of the coordinating committee in the past. Thank you. Again, my name is Joe Feller. Joe Feller. So you're more than welcome to talk to me at lunch and everything.
Hi, Tim Laidman from Contra Costa County. I'm on the Contra Costa County Council, serving my second term there. I'm also in the El Cerrito Greens. I'm the treasurer of that. I'm the treasurer of the Contra Costa County. This is the first thing I've really done at state level other than being a delegate to this General Assembly three or four times, something like that. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. I'm Sandra Everett, and, you know, like you probably know who I am already. I mean, I'm not sure why I'm doing this other than I I retired from teaching a year and a half ago, and I said when I retired I'd be a full-time activist. I didn't expect it to be full-time with the Green Party exactly, but, you know, it's the way it goes. My husband would like me to get the house clean, however.
Hi, my name is Rich Stone, and I was originally asked by Marnie to actually to be nominated as a member for the core for the core day committee, that large committee, and I'm rescinding, but I just wanted to thank Marnie for, and I appreciate the gesture, and I would like to concentrate my my time and resources on the labor related issues, and I think that being on the at this point to be on the coordinated committee would probably it probably would serve the best interest to the coordinate committee in general for me to be a member of it. So I'd like to rescind my nomination at this time, and would definitely like to be considered in the future, providing the fact that there will be any openings. Thank you.
We've got a few minutes here. If anyone has a question for the candidates, please raise your hand and we'll ask the candidates to answer in turn. Please, we've got one mic, so we can either just shout them out, or we can have you come to the mic and ask the question, whichever you like. Leave it up to the questioner's choice. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to actually, let's form a stack then. I apologize. If you want to form a stack, do you have a question for the candidates? Because we'll have to have your name stated for the and everything. So here we are.
Linda Piero Avila, Los Angeles County. I'd just like to ask each of the candidates if you're running for a regional seat or at-large seat. They're all at-large? Okay, thank you.
My name is Erica Martinson, Napa County, and I'm wondering what each person thinks about the system of having regions and regional representatives. From what I understand, most states, or I don't know if any other state has that system, and it seems to be one more layer of bureaucracy and counter to grassroots democracy. So I wanted to know what you think about that, its purpose, and whether or not it's necessary to continue that process.
I didn't like that question. So, next question. No. Historically, I am not clear on why we have regional. I tend to favor one man, one vote. So, one person, one vote. My mistake. As a principle, I think that that's probably what we should do and eventually retire the regional. But I know that there are arguments and there are people who are very allied with the regional, and I'm open to discussing what they think the advantages of it are. I personally don't see it, but anyway, thank you.
Well, there was a lot of debate, Cotati, I guess, about how we would do this, and there was an original proposal to make it by all at large, I believe. And I was in general favor of that, but I'm flexible about it. I think this situation that we have now can work quite well. In general, I'd say, though, I would go the one person, one vote. Seems to make a lot of sense. But there was a lot of division about it, and we're taking our steps slowly and in our green manner of figuring out which way we want to go.
Okay, well, Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County. Before I pose my question, there are a lot of very good reasons why we have regions, why we use the regional structure. And personally, I think it's a real fundamental error to be going to these at-large votes. But, and we should have that debate, which never has really occurred. To get back to my questions for candidates, this candidate is specifically for Joe. Yes, you were on the coordinating committee previously with Paul Seeger, and so you both came to the first meeting demanding we put the agenda aside and pursue this issue over a criminal prosecution of one of the members. And from that point on, you continued with disruptive behavior. You were extremely rude and aggressive with people, shouted obscenities. Is this the kind of conduct we're going to see if you get elected again?
I take exception to that. I don't recall ever shouting obscenities at anybody. But I really think in this party we shouldn't be physically assaulting each other. And there was that charge made, and I thought it needed to be addressed. And if it happens again, if somebody physically assaults a member of the Green Party, you know, one member assaulting another, I will call that person and I will make an issue of it. Thank you.
That was directed directly at Joe, but I'd like to speak up. I've known Joe for a long time. He's been a very rational person. He's helped us in Contra Costa County a lot. He's been our representative. I think there's a lot of divisiveness that, in the party that we need to deal with in a nonviolent, communicative way, where we don't have a shouting match and just let our tempers take us where we don't really want to go. So I'd vote for cooler heads, and let's try to not make things a personality issue, but let's deal with the politics instead.
Okay. Barry, are you the last person in line there?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to close the stack with Barry here and try to proceed from there. Thank you.
Matosca, San Francisco. I was going to come up here and talk mainly about how the candidates see the question of water in relationship with the party's work in the state. But there's also a fundamental question in terms of leadership at the county level and how that needs to be addressed in terms of some of the locals that are functioning outside the purview and consent of the membership, and how that kind of situation will be handled in the future.
I'm being rather dense about all this. I'm Lauren Sennett. I'm from Mendocino County, and I hold elective office, so I'm up here more with knowledge about that. I'm a lot less knowledgeable about Green Party workings than you all are, even though I've been registered for a long, long time. I'm a mayor on the Mendocino Coast, and I would be happy to serve if you guys want me to, and I was recruited by some very active and dynamic members.
Barry Hermanson from San Francisco. Since I currently co-chair the coordinating committee, and we will have another election once all these new folks are, at least we'll have an internal election for a new co-chair. If somebody else wants to step forward. Yeah. But whatever. I just wanted to address the concerns. Two things. As this list of people was being brought forward, there was a concern mentioned that anyone who would be running for a seat on the coordinating committee really should be here to be able to answer questions from delegates before we go to a voting process. Now, there are a number of people that are listed here in the packet who are not here. And so it's just a concern. I don't think that we have established that this makes you totally ineligible for joining. At this point, we need more bodies on our coordinating committee. And I'm very impressed with the list of people and the types of work that folks have been doing with our party. So I hope that will be an affirmation for most, if not all, of the folks. Just wanted to say one thing just regarding the divisiveness that we've all been hearing about. Over the last couple of years, the coordinating committee actually has done much better. We don't have shouting matches on our calls. I do not tolerate that. And so going forward, that is what I will expect of anyone who is coming on to the coordinating committee as well. Because if we are going to get our work done, we must treat each other respectfully, and that's what I demand. Thank you.
Okay, I think that ends the stack, and we can thank our candidates. And I think we're at the end of the item, if I'm not mistaken.
As a candidate. Okay, so just that everybody's bio is available online. At this point in our lives, most of Green Party work is done online and by email. So even though it would be nice if all those people were here today, you know, like they're out there. If you read their bios, they're out there doing things in their counties. I was pretty impressed with everybody's bio. And their email addresses are there. So if you have questions for them, please write them and write us, too, if you have any questions, since this is a long voting period. I didn't realize it was going to be a whole month, but okay.
I apologize. I've just been told, in relationship to someone not being here, Sean Michael Dodd, I've just been told that his father died 2 days ago. And so pretty good reason for not being here. If any of you do know Sean, please send him a note.
Okay, thank you, Barry. I think that concludes the item, unless I'm mistaken, and we can move on to the...
I think we didn't answer Matt Oskaz. I think he had two questions. One of them we didn't understand, but we didn't have a chance to answer his other question, which is water going to be critical? Is water going to be critical to the party's growth? And I know for a fact it is going to be. It's one of the most critical issues facing this state. So I totally think that it's something that's going to have to be addressed, and hopefully our platform will address it and we'll be able to take it forward as a means of growing our party. In terms of internal organization?
I'm sorry, we're going to have either the question restated or just end the item because... Yeah, we're 5 minutes after, and but thank you to our candidates who are here, and thank you for taking questions and such. And I think we're at the end of the item, so we're going to move on to two last things before lunch. One is the is essentially the clarification of the language that was adopted, if I'm stating that correctly, for the procedure for recommending names for the presidential primary. And we'll go to the presenter for that.
So all the other amendments that we made earlier with the beauty of the wiki, I will enter those all in so that anybody will be able to see later how we made all of those changes, because for those of you who are familiar with how wikis work, we'll be able to see that. But for the one that we didn't yet agree upon, I will read here. So under 1-2, to be considered eligible for recommendation, under 1-1, an interested candidate must 1-2.1, either be A, a registered green in those states in which it is possible to register green, that should say green, or a Green Party member as otherwise defined in those states in which it is not possible to register green, or registered decline to state or independent or otherwise not be a member of any ballot-qualified political party other than the Green Party, or otherwise named party that is a recognized member party of the GPUS, and I'll explain that in a moment, and not be a registrant of any state or national level ballot-qualified political party in the individual's primary state of residence, except for a state party which is affiliated with the GPUS, or a party forming for the intent of GPUS affiliation in a state where there is no GPUS-affiliated state party. And that's language that is, honestly, that's the national party language, and we try to copy it in part to be consistent. The thing about 1-2.1c, this thing in the parens, otherwise named party, as Marty Glickman will remind us, because she came from Oregon, the Green Party in Oregon for many years was just called the Pacific Party, and then changed its name to Pacific Green Party. But there are states, like in Missouri, it's the Progressive Party. That's the Green Party in Missouri. It's not named the Green Party. So we didn't want to box ourselves out by saying only the word Green Party. Massachusetts, it's the Green Rainbow Party.
then now are we... Clarification? Okay, so thank you for that clarification and wordsmithing. So before lunch, which is happening and just momentarily here, first, real quickly, actually, Barry, was there? Barry, was there still an issue with the restroom? Yeah, I'm going to have him. And I would also, actually, just briefly while he comes up here, I would like to take a couple snapshots of y'all. Is that a problem, just to, you know, bring back to Ventura? Can you hold up your delegate cards and so I can do a couple little snapshots?
Okay, smile for the FBI. Okay.
I'm sorry we're doing this right before lunch, but there is a problem with the toilet back here. Unless somebody's fixed it, I took the lid off of the thing because the tank wasn't filling with water when you flush it. The little stopper doesn't sit down, and so you're going to have to pay attention and actually reach in and move the stopper over so it'll fill with water. Very simple thing to do, okay? Bob says it was working a few minutes ago. Just pay attention to it so water doesn't just run forever. Yes? Right. That's right. But the water in the tank is, the water in that top tank is supposedly clean. You know, that's
true. All right. Simple, but extremely crucial. We have one more item that we did add this morning as an agenda item that's going to be presented by Mike Feinstein regarding our position on the nuclear plants in California. Following that item, we're going to go for a couple of announcements. We've had the host committee has asked us to allow them to make a couple of announcements before lunch. So we're going to go to our presenter.
Okay, so a resolution of the General Assembly of the Green Party of California, April 30th, 2011. To promote the safety of all Californians and our fellow living beings, and to protect our natural environment, the Green Party of California calls for the immediate closure and decommissioning of the state's nuclear power plants at Diablo Canyon and San Onofre. The Fukushima nuclear power plant catastrophe in Japan is a wake-up call for all Californians that this energy source is neither safe nor sustainable. The entire nuclear power life cycle is already fraught with inherent risk, and is multiplied by the possibility of human error. If we have learned anything from the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, it's that Mother Nature can act on a scale and manner that we cannot always contemplate or prepare for. Both Diablo Canyon and San Onofre are built near earthquake faults and next to the ocean. This presents unacceptable risk. Instead of pursuing dangerous energy paths like nuclear and fossil fuels that have already been shown to lead to large-scale environmental disaster, the Green Party stands for more environmentally sound energy paths based on efficiency, conservation, and the distributed generation of renewable energy sources like solar and wind.
All right, I'm seeing another sea of twinkling. So the agenda made accommodation for any kind of adjustments that needed to be made and then a bring back after lunch, but I saw a pretty great response here. So can I just test for consensus on that? Are we... pretty good with that? Okay, are there any concerns with the questions or concerns with the... Somewhere in Texas, I heard. Midlands, Texas, perhaps? Washington, D.C.? Okay. Is this a time check, Randy? Okay, we're being asked for a friendly amendment. Do you want to... Okay, so I'm, aside from that, we're hearing, I think I saw consensus on that, that proclamation by the Green Party of California. Thank you to the presenter, and I will go to our host committee for announcements before lunch.